in just one example, you want name names, in the neighboring county, in Prince William County, Sharon Pandak, who's running for board of supervisors chair.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones ended the day down more than 360 points in trading today. We'll have the final numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business segment. French President Nicolas Sarkozy is in Washington. He spoke at Capitol Hill, where he told members of Congress he wants to improve relations between the U.S. and France. He also said better cooperation between the two countries could help solve international problems, such as the search for Middle East peace. Afterwards, the French president visited Mount Vernon in Virginia, the home of President George Washington. He and President Bush held a press conference there. President Bush said in a phone call he told Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf that he must give up his post as head of the military and hold parliamentary elections. In Pakistan today, near the parliament building, demonstrators protesting the imposition of military rule were pushed back by police who swung batons and fired tear gas. Former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto says that more than 400 supporters of her political party, the Pakistan People's Party, have been arrested. A state of emergency was declared by the president of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia today. He blames Russia for the unrest. There have been 6 days of demonstrations in the capital of Tbilisi. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad announced today that his country has reached a milestone in its uranium enrichment program. He said Iran now has 3,000 fully working centrifuges, which are a key part in the enrichment of uranium and can be used for fuel or weapons. South Korea's defense minister says even though North Korea has started to dismantle its nuclear weapons program, the military threat it poses has not diminished. In southern Finland today, hours after a video predicting school violence was posted on YouTube, an 18-year-old gunman killed 8 people in a high school. The shooter then reportedly shot himself, according to police, and died at the hospital. In U.S. election news, the Republican governor of Kansas, Ernie Fletcher, was defeated in his reelection bid by Democratic challenger Steve Beshear. Mississippi's Republican governor, Haley Barbour, won reelection. In other races, the mayors of San Francisco, Houston, and Pittsburgh were all reelected. The founder of the Christian Coalition, televangelist Pat Robertson, has endorsed Republican Rudy Giuliani for president. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. Now, are you banking or are you just talking?
I'm doing both.
Well, that's part of being at a local bank, isn't
it? Exactly.
But it has all the benefits of a big bank.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, they help me out with all my banking needs, the whole nine yards.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Well, I think that's the most important. It's full service, and it's like a family-style atmosphere in there. And that was one thing that was very, very attractive to us.
Certainly, yeah, because I don't like to go to a bank and stand in a long line and have to wait and then have some grumpy teller say, okay, another customer.
Yeah.
But they're happy to see you.
You're putting money in, you take money out.
I put it in, yeah, my wife takes it out.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
The space shuttle Discovery landed safely today back on Earth at Cape Canaveral, Florida, after a 15-day space mission. During the voyage, the crew took part in some of the most dangerous repair and construction operations ever conducted on the International Space Station. The Labor Department reports that in the summer, worker productivity went up 4.9%. That is twice the amount of the previous quarter. General Motors announced today that the company lost $39 billion in the third quarter. The money was an accounting charge for unused tax credits. According to a financial analyst, this was the second worst quarterly net loss ever recorded in U.S. corporate history. Toyota said today its profit went up 11%, setting a company record of about $4 billion for its second quarter. AAA reports that overnight the national average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline went up nearly 2 cents to just over $3.04 a gallon. Since mid-October, gasoline prices have climbed nearly 29 cents a gallon. Gold is trading at $833.50 an ounce. Light sweet crude currently at $96.37 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 361 points, the NASDAQ down 76, and the S&P 500 down 45. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! That's right, chat room. It's me, Bob Kincaid, threat to national security. And we are off and rolling. By a gnat's whisker, I should say. A little bit of weirdness in the last couple of hours here with service at the studio. What they used to describe as technical problems beyond our control. Yeah, that's you betcha. And of course, beyond just being another night of ranting, raving, and generalized hell raising. Well, you know what tonight is.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Dang straight, it's prayer meeting time. Brothers and sisters, come on down to the altar and place your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of truth flowing through you here from the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Brother Bob. Heal. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we've got several angles we can work for a prayer meeting Wednesday, that's for sure. Let's see. Let me get my, where's my coin? Tails. Oh. Two out of three. Tails, it never fails. All right. So we will start with Brother Pat Robertson. Brother Pat Robertson endorsing... Well, I'll let him tell you himself.
In less than 2 months, American voters will begin choosing the nominees of their respective political parties for the office of the presidency of the United States. To me, the overriding issue before the American people is the defense of our population from the bloodlust of Islamic terrorists. Our second goal should be the control of massive government waste and crushing federal deficits. Uppermost in the minds of social conservatives is the selection of future Supreme Court justices and lower court judges who will sit in both the federal circuit courts and the district courts. Our world faces deadly peril: nuclear-armed North Korea and the foreboding of nuclear arms in Iran, deadly violence from Hamas and Hezbollah against Israel, the possible overthrow of Pakistan's government, and drawn-out wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. In all of the crises which confront our nation and the world, we need a leader with a bold vision who is not afraid to tackle the challenges ahead. For months, I have contemplated our future and the outstanding group of men who are offering themselves to the Republican Party to be its standard bearer in the 2008 presidential election.
Outstanding group. Here it comes.
Today it is my pleasure to announce my support for America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and proven leader who is not afraid of what lies ahead and who will cast a hopeful vision for all Americans.
And now I offer you this laurel and hearty handshake. Well, there you have it. Pat Robertson endorsing America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani. He ain't my mayor. Hell, I wouldn't allow the man in my home, let alone run my country. But there he is, twice divorced, thrice married, probably working on wife number four. A man who was, you know, intimately associated with Bernard Kerik, who was mobbed up, who may be indicted. A man who, well, you know, this whole business with Pat Robertson, when he gets to this, you know, Robertson lays out the conservative, so-called conservative right-wing agenda there. And just as sorry about that, coughing spasm. We talked last night about how any of the Democrats could be counted on, from Mike Gravel all the way to Senator Clinton, could be counted on to nominate people to the Supreme Court of significantly better values and better talent and better intelligence. Well, there's Pat Robertson. He's telling you that he has made some sort of a deal with the devil, or Rudy, or that woman Rudy dresses up as, that there will be right-wing freaks on the court if he can only shoehorn Rudy into the White House. Now, I guess Pat Robertson, I guess this is some sort of an anointing. I didn't see the part of the video where they poured the oil on Rudy's shiny little head, pointy little shiny head. But this is an anointing by right-wing so-called Christianity. But not so fast, because there's another leader of the right-wing phony Christian movement out there named Paul Weyrich. Paul Weyrich has come out in support of Mitt Romney. You know, the guy who combs his hair with corn oil and a fork. God, I love that line. So all is not all is not happy in the right wing Christo-fascist crowd. But Pat Robertson, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know when they reached their agreement. Maybe they were sitting back, getting facials done up with. What was it, Peter? Sea of Galilee mud mask from Calovita. Sea of Galilee mud mask, brought to you by Pat Robertson. Maybe that's when they struck the deal. Maybe Pat thinks that Rudy's hot when he's in drag. Don't know. Just don't know. But this is... oh, it's another day in right-wing America. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see if this has any impact, because... I suspect it really doesn't, because the people who follow Pat Robertson were going to vote for some right-wing Republican in the general election, regardless of Robertson's endorsement. What this is about, however, is the primaries, because unlike, God, how long has it been since the Republicans actually had to fight for a nomination? Let's see, Dole was coronated. And before that, George H.W. Bush was coronated. George W. Bush was more or less coronated right after they got done smearing John McCain all over the wall. So this is a novel process for the Republican Party, to actually have to select a candidate, as opposed to having one presented to them in sort of a, you will vote for this candidate whether you like it or not. Now, Pat Robertson is slippery and sleazy. We all know where the money comes from. We all know about the hustle because we're intelligent people. And you don't, but somehow it fits, doesn't it? You would expect somehow for these two thugs to get in bed together. Because at the end of the day, Pat Robertson could not get in bed with Mitt Romney. Pat Robertson thinks that Mitt Romney doesn't belong to the right religion. He thinks Mitt Romney isn't a Christian. Of course, Pat Robertson's not a Christian either, but that goes without saying. Pat Robertson thinks he's a Christian. So, no Mitt Romney. McCain? Nah. No McCain. And then you're down into the lower tier, and, you know, I suspect Robertson could get along with Mike Huckabee. But Mike Huckabee doesn't have a chance, and Pat Robertson is devoutly intent on backing a winning horse. There are no ideals in this race for him. It is about winning at all costs. It's about winning over the American people. It's about winning over justice, the Constitution, rights, liberties, our precious republic. It's about winning for Pat Robertson. And maybe making a little money on the side hustle. So we have that to sort of get our attention on this prayer meeting Wednesday. We have that and several other stories. We have interesting news out of the office of Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. Now, you may or may not remember, if you were of a certain age, the Iran-Contra hearings. I do. I was just starting my career at CNN, or I was in the midst of my career at CNN, when the Iran-Contra hearings got underway. I remember sitting and watching them on a great big Mitsubishi, then at the time, humongous giant screen TV of 42 inches. Yeah, I know. And I remember the Senate hearings where Oliver North appeared, the one where Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii so bravely questioned Oliver North, sitting there wearing a uniform that he had no right to be wearing because he wasn't active duty anymore. But you know, when you're dealing with Republicans, you're dealing with people who see things as uniforms, as more like costumes and set props. And then I remember Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, who's sort of a weaselly, nasally sort of, and he did everything but come down off the dais and do for Oliver North something Monica Lewinsky would later do for Bill Clinton. And I have, since that day, had very little regard for Charles Grassley. On most of the issues that matter to me, if I figure out what my position is, I can just about guarantee you that his position will be directly contrary to it. So, lo and behold, imagine my surprise and my shock when I read the following story. Well, never mind the following story. The office of Senator Grassley has announced that it will begin an investigation into the financial dealings of six of America's top Jesus hustlers. It includes Creflo Dollar. It includes Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, and among he has asked for Ms. Meyer to provide his staff with documents detailing the finances of the Joyce Meyer Ministries, including the religious group's compensation to Meyer, her husband, and other family members, as well as an accounting of their housing allowances, gifts, and credit card statements covering the last several years. The request also asks for what it calls a detailed accounting of all of her and her husband's expense account items, like clothing, cosmetic surgery, overseas bank accounts and deposits, the tax-exempt purpose of items of her ministry's headquarters, like a $23,000, oh my God, Jesus wept. Yeah, you remember the late, great Sam Kennison, who was a recovering fundamentalist himself, a Pentecostal, said he wanted to be there on Judgment Day when Jesus looked down at Jerry Falwell and said, "Where did I say to build a water slide?" Well, at Joyce Meyer Ministries, they have a $23,000 marble-topped commode, a $30,000 conference table, and an $11,219 French clock. Okay, the first one, the marble-topped commode, you and I both know what we think of when we hear that. It may not be that. A commode is also, as you probably well know, a French term for a piece of furniture. And it may be that. Or it could be true that Joyce Meyer cannot go and take care of her bodily necessities without sitting on solid marble. Although I would think that would just be ungodly cold. Wouldn't you? $23,000 marble-topped commode at Joyce Meyer Ministries. A $30,000 conference table. And a clock that is French that cost $11,219. What is the shortest verse in the New Testament, brothers and sisters? You and I both know the shortest verse in the New Testament. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me, said that dark brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter of 2,000 years ago. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. I suppose in that sort of thinking, Joyce Meyer's response would be, well, yeah, poor me. A $30,000 conference table, a $23,000 marble-topped commode, and an $11,219 clock. And, of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's not like when Joyce Meyer leaves the building that she's driving away in a rusted-out 78 Impala. Oh, no, baby, no. And it's not like when she goes to sleep and lays her little Christian head upon the pillow that she's doing so on an air mattress. Oh, no, sunshine. No, no. We're talking about people worth millions upon millions of tax-free dollars. Tax-free dollars. Who answer to virtually no one. The IRS recently, by the way, being a subsection of the executive branch, recently made a determination that Joyce Meyer Ministries still qualifies for its tax-exempt status. Creflo Dollar lives in College Park, Georgia. He runs the Changing Your World broadcasts. He owns two Rolls Royces, private jets. He has a mansion inside Atlanta and a $2.5 million apartment in Manhattan. I don't know what $2.5 million gets you in Manhattan these days, but I'm guessing it's not a cold water walk-up flat. He has said he will comply with the orders and that his church has complied with the IRS for more than a decade. On the other hand, he's not real happy. He says, the questions at hand are much bigger than world changers. That's the name of his stupid little ministry. World changers, as it could affect the privacy of every community church in America. My life and my ministry have always been an open book, and that won't change now. Creflo, where did Jesus tell you to own two Rolls Royces? Well, you got to have two in case one breaks down. The other ministers, like I said, Benny Hinn of Grapevine, Texas. Eddie Long of Lithonia, Georgia. He's a real piece of work. He's one of these people who hates individuals based on what goes on when the lights go off. He's a gay baiter. He says God blesses people financially as well as spiritually. Also subject to the request, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland of Newark, Texas. They also preach that faith will be rewarded in money. And Randy and Paula White of Tampa, Florida. They run the Without Walls International Church Hustle. And among other things that they claim to own are a $1.9 million jet and a $3.5 million condo in New York. Contrary to scripture, in August they announced that they're busting up. So, pardon me if I'm a little skeptical. I wonder if Grassley is merely going to sweep this under the rug, or if he's actually going to dig into this, because he sits on the Senate Banking Committee and Senate Finance Committee, I believe. So you can well imagine that he's quite fascinated with all things monetary. Joyce Meyer's TV show, enjoying everyday life. Well, hell yeah! You'd enjoy everyday life, too, if you were going on a $23,000 commode. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be nice? I don't know. I'd like to have one done up in elephant skin. Elephant skin toilet seat with bald eagle feathered trimmings. Whew. Where does this? There's that phrase again. That beautiful, beautiful phrase that our good friend Eugene Finnerman gave us last week. What does it take to call yourself a follower of Christ Jesus and spend your followers' money, your groupies, your adherents, your parishioners, your flocks' money on Gulfstream jets, Rolls Royces, and $23,000 commodes, marble topped. What kind of conscientious depravity does that require? Really is enough to make you scream, isn't it? Let's see who's screaming with us. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
You got Peter in Tallahassee. Hi, Bob.
Oh, my God. It's the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host.
Oh, dear God. Oh, Lord. You know, Bob, in my ongoing effort to see each one of the Antichrists before I die, I can tell you that I have seen Joyce Meyer.
Oh no.
Lord. Oh, what a do that was. Bob, I saw her in Pensacola, Florida. She had the Civic Center there. The Civic Center in Pensacola is huge beyond her wildest imagining. The seats go all the way up into the extreme nosebleed section. She was there for four nights. And each night, the theater, the Coliseum there was entirely booked, not an empty seat in the place. You know, most of her following are women. And I remember this is before I was involved with, you know, Head On Radio Network or into progressive radio stations. It was way back in my year of captivity when I was held hostage by the Christian Rite in Pensacola, which I sometimes refer to. And, you know, the tickets to get into this place were, you know, like 40, 60 bucks a pop.
No, you have to pay to get into this?
Oh, God, yes. And some of the women I talked to there had gone, had booked themselves every single night of the, you know, of the entire four-night series. Some actually follow her from city to city. And Bob, it was just
like the dead.
You know, the group that I was with, it was an all-male group, but, and we were, you know, the tickets were donated to us from some, you know, Christian do-gooder, you know, so that we would be able to see this. But, so we got in for free. Someone else actually paid for the tickets. But the women that were there, Bob, it was really horrifying. They would sit and they would have these notebooks, and they would write down every word that she said as if she were Christ himself. They would thumb through her books and cross-reference what she was saying live in her speaking and from her books. And they would pore over every single word that she said and hang on everything. Oh, it was horrifying. And I remember even back then when I came home, you know, back to Tallahassee, and I was trying to tell my family, my sisters about her, and she was just about, Bob, the most mean-spirited woman.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Peter. What is her hustle? I mean, I'll be honest. I don't spend any time on the Trinity Broadcasting Network if I can possibly avoid it. What is the nature of her shtick?
She differs from the other mainstream holy rollers, put your hand on the head, you're healed, in as much as instead of naming diseases that would be more common to men, like I see someone in the audience has a heart problem. I see somebody is deaf, you know, whatever. She will say things like, I see somebody has a cyst in their uterus. I see that somebody has had a mis. Oh, she only does female diseases. I'm sorry. I'm telling you the honest to God truth. So that is her that is the only difference.
So she is, she is a faith healer.
Oh, well, yeah. Except she doesn't have them come up in a row. She just prays for them as she senses them, and they don't come up and get healed.
Oh my God, that's doing the hustle without doing the hustle.
Well, she's almost like Ann Coulter, but she sounds like a man. And she's this Nazi-esque, mean-spirited woman, and she and everything she says is like barking, like some sort of command, as if it comes from some sort of, like she's just a little bit offended, and like, you know, like godly offense. But, you know, how she emulates the worst of every possible concept of what, you know, any relationship with Christ is about.
You know, because I remember years ago when my buddy, and this goes back to like high school and college, we'd sit around, probably alter our minds one way or another, and watch Ernest Angley and get a real charge out of it, because at least Ernest seemed like he was a sweet little fella. And friends, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Jesus loves you. Can I do Ernest or what? But there was, you know, there was that sort of overweening niceness to it. These people are mean now. Mean is the new... And where is mean in the New Testament, Peter? I mean, you're pretty well schooled.
this is why it really blows me away that so many people are taken in by it. There's no love, there's no peace, there's no rest your weary spirit. It's all from some sort of authoritarian position, and this sort of a level of anger that, you know, some of you people are blah, 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 and you shouldn't be blah, blah, blah. It was all that kind of stuff. It was all, and I was horrified by it, that anyone could be so steered away from what the Gospels are about, you know, lay down your sword and shield sort of thing, to what it's come to, Bob, and it's mean and it's evil, and it's just not anywhere close to what it's supposed to be.
See, I think
they fall for it.
They fall for it because they want to fall for it. I mean, apparently this meanness that you describe has some sort of a resonance with some portion of the American people. And, you know, they're forever saying that they want to marry up Christianity and government. I'm about this close, Peter. Can you see me? I'm about this close to saying, fine, recognize them. Because the minute we get government in bed with religion, then government can start regulating it.
Well,
and I would be more than happy to sit on the board and say, nope, you're not, and you're not. And now you're going to give away everything you have and follow Jesus.
What was the woman's name, Helmsley, who said she was the queen of mean? That's what she was like, Bob. She felt that way. And she really did. And so if you think she's got a cold butt sitting on her marble toilet, she wouldn't faze her. She's already as cold as ice.
Well, you know, I've got so many weird little references going on inside my brain, Peter, I can't help it. But we've got an antique table here, nothing fancy, but it's got a solid marble top. It came from my grandmother. And the reason she had it was she made the most wonderful fudge on planet Earth. And she always said that you cannot make fudge without an ice-cold marble slab.
Oh, how interesting. Now, that's old timing.
And because you've got to have a broad place to work it and let it thicken and all whatever the magic was.
Sure.
And okay, so, you know, I can buy that, you know? I mean, there's a legitimate purpose for it. What purpose does this marble-topped commode?
Bob, just lifting up the seat, it would probably weigh what, 15, 20 pounds to lift the... That marble's heavy. It's no joke.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, Mr. Reverend Joyce Meyer, I guess, you know, yeah, he doesn't have any problem with put the seat down. He probably just leaves it there. That thing would weigh a ton.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was, a Christian teaching exercise.
Maybe so. And speaking of Mr., some of her family was there, too. Didn't see her husband, but some of her sons or daughters or whatever were in the choir, and oh, how they pushed her books, and oh, how they pushed what was for sale out in the lobby, and it was just cha-ching.
Can you imagine, Peter, if we got on this program, these programs, you on yours, me on mine, Mark's, John's, Joe's, Guy's, Dr. Bill's, if we got on the air and said, you know, we need you to send us X number of dollars, because we've got to put new upholstery in the jet.
Yeah, can you imagine it? Oh, Lord, I lost a feather out of my boa and it need a replacement. Nobody could take it.
No, really, I mean, this is prayer meeting Wednesday. So these are legitimate inquiries. And, you know, me being a recovering Southern Baptist, you being a United Methodist, both having read the book at some considerable length.
She's a doctor, I think, by the way. Dr. Joyce Meyer.
Yeah, she's one of those doctors that can't put on a Band-Aid without damn near killing somebody.
And she's mean.
But where? I mean, even for the sake of argument, where is the justification in the Gospels or even the letters of St. Paul?
There is.
For not one, but two Rolls Royces.
Yeah, and to see these women who are so serious about her and write down every breath and hang on every word is so heartbreaking. They're so misled. It's right out of the good book. These are the end times, Bob. And she be one of the antichrists. I done seen her.
Oh, and, you know, I remember taking grief from people when I would take a little time off to follow the Grateful Dead, you know, two or three cities. And, you know, there were always the delightful little young next generation of hippies in the parking lot with cheese sandwiches in their back pocket, eating meat roasted on a skewer, and God knows what kind of meat it was, and playing with their hacky sacks and throwing frisbees and holding up signs that say, need a miracle, need a ticket. Need a miracle, need a ticket.
Oh, that's priceless.
and you know, folks would say, yeah, I can't believe you'd go listen to them. What is that? You know, and there's the old joke about what did the hippie say when he finally stopped getting stoned? Hey, this band sucks.
Stop positive.
but you know, I knew what the transaction was.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, the dead weren't promising to get me into heaven.
No.
They weren't promising me eternal salvation or eternal life. They were promising me that they would do their best to see to it that they provided sufficient and adequate entertainment for an evening's diversion.
Uh-huh. Well, this is like, she was definitely like some woman at God forbid that I insult any of our dear lesbian friends, but she was like the biggest, baddest, meanest lesbian at the biker bar, and you pissed her off. That was her whole attitude.
And so she just stalks around the stage telling you how rotten you are. Is it?
Pretty much.
And you are a sinner.
And praying for your ovaries.
And praying for your ovaries without even having to come up and lay the healing hands of faith on you.
It's all true. I've done seen it.
And $40 a pop.
Yeah, and to fill, and some were seeing her every night.
Where do these people go when it's over? I mean, do they have like lives? Do they go home to their little homes in the suburbs and sit around and, you know, my goodness, that Dr. Meyer, she certainly did inspire me. Yes, dear.
I don't know. So, most of the women seem to be alone. There were a couple of people who came, like, you know, in pairs or in threes, you know, small groups, I suppose, from certain churches, and
then get on the bus tour and go over to the casino.
Yeah, probably so. But a lot of them seem to be alone, and you know, backpacks full of books, and it was a shame, really. It's just a shame.
Well,
but
it's sad.
It's all happening. Pardon?
It's sad.
Yes, sir. It is sad, and it's all going on right now in the name of Jesus. And he would run from the room screaming. He would.
Don't make me get off this cross. I will get off this cross and stop this religion.
Oh, that's so funny. I love it. Yeah.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You know, if you see them, they've got a band set up that would make most rock and roll outfits openly weep.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's always top quality. All wireless mics and all this kind of good stuff. Yeah, it's
and this crazy. Eddie Long. Are you familiar with Eddie Long?
No, that one I don't know.
He's the one that spends most of his time hating gay folk, and he's made a multi-million-dollar industry out of it.
I see. I guess I don't know much about him because he's apparently doesn't do like something like the American Family Association or something. He must be more of a broadcast fiend.
Well, these are all broadcasters.
Yeah.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Randy and Paula White, Tampa, Florida. Benny Hinn, Eddie Long, and of course Creflo Dollar.
Yeah, now Benny Hinn, of course, and some of the others.
Jets, yeah. Swimming pools, movie stars.
So they're coming out and doing their little endorsement. What's her face? Did Joyce Meyer endorse anybody?
No. This is more along the lines of this investigation that's been announced by. Charles Grassley. No. So far the two primary endorsements that are out there, Peter, are Pat Robertson for Rudy.
Yeah, that came out today.
America's mayor. And Paul Weyrich, who is really the godfather of the evangelical right movement, being behind Romney.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to endorse a good little Baptist like Mike Huckabee.
Well, I'm just waiting for Dobbs himself to run. Nothing would surprise me. They're desperate.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be festive? So anyway, that's all I know, Bob. I just could not resist.
Well, Peter, thank you so very much. I do appreciate it.
I'm Steve, sir. I'll talk to you later.
But praise Jesus and, you know, put your hands upon the subwoofer.
Exactly. Good night, Bob.
Bye now.
Talk to you later.
Oh, poor Peter. Actually compelled to go see that hateful woman. The scar, well, obviously, you can tell just listening to him, the scars are still there. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, Bob. The parade of hosts continues. How you doing?
Oh, good evening, John. Or good afternoon. Or good night. I'm lost.
Good morning, actually. But anyway, Benny Hinn came up, and I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but I thought that this was a good opportunity. A few years ago, Benny Hinn was down here in Australia and did a couple of his shows at the Sydney Entertainment Center. And Gail was on the crew to bump the show in and out on the day. And normally when you work a show at the Entertainment Center, you know, as the end of the thing comes up, the working folks will show up and corral around the back and wait for the thing to be over. But no, they were all held in a separate pen out in the parking lot and were not allowed to enter the building until Mr. Hinn and the two armored trucks full of money left the building.
Oh! The two armored trucks, Mr. Benny Hinn and the money, have left the building.
Yes, and his haircut.
Well, the haircut probably travels in its own armored truck.
It almost could be an armored truck itself if you just put wheels on it.
Oh, you know, you could bounce a quarter off of it, John. It's just awful. So the common roadies couldn't get near his sainted eminence.
Oh.
I don't think the Pope's that harsh.
Oh, and you couldn't get near the money either, and that just to me proved exactly what the whole exercise is. It has nothing to do with anyone's spirituality. It has nothing to do with like being a good Christian. It has to do with
you say that so well
for money.
Yeah. That's the Holy Communion. Never mind the cookie and the little gulp of cheap wine. There's the Holy Communion, John.
And when this whole event was going on, I don't remember what I was doing at the time, but I had to go through Darling Harbor and whatnot, which is right down by the entertainment center. And you just had all these people lining up to get in, and they're all like, "Do you know about Jesus?" And I'm just like, "Oh, please,
leave me alone."
You know, you really want to lose your mind and just go off on them, but you realize that they're really simple people, and to interact with them on an intellectual level is a complete waste of time.
Yeah, you'd lose IQ points. Because, you know, their IQ never comes up, but yours can surely go down.
Yeah, you feel that great sucking sound as your brains are being removed.
John, you remind me of something, and I'm sitting here, you know, we've had all these computer problems, so half the time I can't find any of the music that I'm looking for anymore. You sent, and I would love to play it right about now. It was either a band or a comedy group. I think it was a band down your way.
Oh, the thing from The Chaser.
Is that from The Chaser? Praise the Lord and yeah. Pass the Cash?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I get off the phone, I'll see if I can find it, and I'll send it your way.
Cool. Because that would just occurred to me as you and I were talking, you know, that would be perfect. That would be absolutely perfect, because this is, I mean, I think there are spiritual people out there. I'm sure they're down there, too. Here, I think about folks like Jim Wallace of Sojourners. And I think about that wonderful, wonderful man we had on the program, Bishop Carlton Pearson. You know, they threw him, he had one of those multi-million-dollar mega churches. And the light went on for him one day, and he couldn't stand keeping the truth inside him anymore. And he finally told his congregation, "This is all a sham. This is a freak show. This is a carnival sideshow. This is three card Monte. We're selling tickets out of hell and into heaven, and you're the people buying them. Guess what? No hell." And they threw him out of his megachurch, and they took away all of his money. And now he shares a building with a local Episcopal congregation that was kind enough to let him keep preaching.
It's really rather amazing. I don't know when it might have aired in the States, but a few weeks ago, there was a really great Law and Order episode where it was, they were kind of playing on the that crystal meth smoking guy, kind of a thing on that. And as they were trying to get, you know, trying to question people, they went from the minister, and then it was suddenly to the CEO of the mega church, and they're like, CEO?
Yeah,
it's a very interesting exercise, I thought.
No more the humble pastor.
Yeah, and they tried, and I thought it was interesting. You know, I mean, this is all, you know, in a dramatic thing, but I thought it was interesting that they then tried to use religious protection to keep the CEO, who was not a minister, from being able to speak to the police.
Just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
How people can know that this goes on and not realize that this is all a fraud, a fake, a con job, I don't know. I mean, our dear friend David in Tennessee could certainly call in and remind us all about the Trinity Broadcasting empire that is there in the same county where he lives. It's what used to be Conway Twitty, the country star. I'm sure you're familiar with him. Built something once upon a time. It was kind of a little amusement theme park. It was called Twitty City. And when he died and it went under, Trinity Broadcasting Network bought it. And I assure you that every basic cable, and that's the amazing thing, every basic cable system in this country has two or three channels of electric Jesus. Meanwhile, folks in Oregon and Colorado and other places in the country have suddenly found that Comcast Cable has moved MSNBC and Keith Olbermann to a higher tier. But basic cable includes electric Jesus.
Oh, my God. Well,
now, you tell me what that's about, John Fox.
Well, I mean, we know what that's about. You know, it's just like the whole thing where we talk about, you know, the trying to divide up the Internet. You will be able to get for free what they want you to get, but if you want to hear anything that might be truthful or some other point of view, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder in these instances as well, you know, are these Christian broadcasters actually fronting up the money so that they end up being on the free stuff when the cable providers normally probably have to pay for things like MSNBC to be on their service?
You betcha. You can pick the little Cupid doll off the second shelf. You win. Staying, you know, with the Carney motif, because that's what this is. What I said to Peter a minute ago, I was thinking of you immediately. You see the audio and musical setups of people like Jimmy Swaggart and Kenneth Copeland. That stuff would just make your soul ache to play with.
The great example in this country is Hillsong, which is the big media mega church here in Australia, over in New South Wales. The largest production company in Australia is an outfit called Jans. And a few years back, when Jans sold off their lighting department, they also were looking to unload their mobile production truck, which is a complete multi-track recording studio and a trailer. And they were looking to just sell it to, you know, for, you know, its basic value. They weren't really looking to make any money off of it. It made its money. Well, Hillsong put down a bid that was like 40% above the highest bid that they were being offered to make sure that they got it. And so they have the best mobile production van outside of a broadcast television network for them to go around and do their little things. And they had a few years ago a female singer who actually sold more albums in America than Kylie Minogue. Now, what makes the whole thing interesting is people at Hillsong are asked to sign over their paychecks, basically, and then get their services back from the church. The church paid for this singer's plastic surgery to make her prettier. They paid for the production of the album.
So she wasn't pretty enough the way God made her?
Yeah, funny that. Funny that. It wasn't the mess. The message obviously wasn't good enough, so they had to make her very model-esque looking. Gave her a nose job and some other stuff. And the other thing, too, is in Australia, being that it's a very small market, and Sony BMG does this all the time, it's really easy to create a number one single. All you have to do is basically have the record label buy pre-release copies and distribute them free. And you only need to do about 30,000, and you instantaneously have a number one single. And with that, you get all the media attention that goes with a number one single. And this is what they do with all their manufactured stuff. And I do believe that Hillsong has followed some of the very same practices.
You mean to tell me we could possibly have a number one single with Pastor from Montgomery in Australia, John, with just a little bit of effort?
Yeah.
Wow. Might be worth doing.
I mean, this is how you know, manipulated these markets have become. And when you have, you know, in the case of Sony BMG, an outfit that basically controls something like 90% of what gets released in this country, it's very easy for them to manipulate these things. Is anyone surprised that, you know, every Australian Idol winner or loser ends up being in the top 10? No, because it's completely manipulated.
What a delicious racket.
Oh, it's an amazing racket. It's an amazing racket. And it ends up making it virtually impossible for other artists to get a leg in. The only thing that was very interesting in this year's ARIA Awards is that it was a few independent releases that actually did quite well. A band called Sneaky Sound System released their album independently, and it was the number one album in the country. But it was purely due to just very, very, very hard work on the part of the band. And also one television station picked up one of the singles as a bit of a soundbed for some of their advertisements. But then again, it gets into you have to be able to manipulate the television.
Jeepers. Well, John, I tell you what, we're up against the top of the hour. If you could find that clip and send it along, I'll get it kicked up in the next hour. I got an email, and I'm not sure if it's overt criticism of me or if it's criticism of Senator Charles Grassley or perhaps both, saying that once again we're going for the low-hanging fruit. But those are the ones that are easier to hit with the ball bat, and they mush so good because they're so, so rotten, you know?
Absolutely, man. I'll try and dig up that track, and I'll get it off to you as soon as I can.
All right. Thanks, John. Take care. Talk to you in a little bit. Bye now. Our good friend and my co-host and partner in truth-telling, John Fox, he of the only recently reincarnated All Foxed Up, comes your way at midnight Eastern time here on the Horn. Just about 5 hours away. What a lineup we've got now. And it's straight through. It's so nice. With Guy James or Dr. Bill, depending on the day of the week, at 3, followed by Mark Levine at 5, me, Peter Godbold and Strictly Confidential, followed by the Cup of Joe radio show, and then finally, capping off the broadcast day, the inimitable John Fox from Sydney, Australia, and All Foxed Up. Amazing, isn't it? And we do it without jets. We do it without two Rolls Royces. We do it without one Rolls Royce. We do it without $30,000 conference tables, $23,000 marble-topped commodes, which probably goes with the conference table, if the truth be known. We do it without French clocks. We do it We do it without almost anything at all except the most important thing there is, and that is you and your support. And again, yeah, we're making a little bit of progress, but not a lot. Right about $300 on our way to the $2,000 we have to raise each and every month. And it's a little bit, frankly, it's a little bit more dire. I mean, if I'm talking about televangelists, I'll go ahead and do our own funding pitch, because we tell you what it's going for. And frankly, Peter and I will be rebuilding a brand new computer. We had to bite the bullet on that one. And we're trying to build a beauty, something that will really, really get the job done and take us into places we want to go, like video. And that's a whole bunch of money, about $800 so far. So when I say that, you know, we have to raise $2,000 a month to stay on the air, I'm not kidding. It just is what it is. So as we head toward the news, here's John Fox and what may be a future number one hit in Australia, The Preacher from Montgomery. Only on America's Liberal Voice, America's listener-supported independent media, The Horn.
Got a good congregation. My wife's on vacation, and the kids are all grown. I've got me some swimsuits, rubber's my desire. Got a head mask of latex that makes me just moan.
This is the Quality News Network. Fervent supporters of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto clashed with police in front of the parliament today. Bhutto is urging party followers to protest in the streets against martial law. President Bush is telling President General Pervez Musharraf that parliamentary elections must be held in January as Islamic militancy rises within the country. Meantime, in Tbilisi, Georgia, riot police used tear gas and rubber bullets to break up demonstrations calling for the ouster of the country's president. Mikhail Saakashvili is known as a pro-Western leader. He declared a state of emergency, banning all broadcast news except those controlled by the state. Interpol put 5 Iranians and a Lebanese man on its most wanted list today in connection with the 1994 bombing that killed 85 people at a Jewish community center in Argentina, the country's worst terror attack. Meantime, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country has reached a milestone in its nuclear program, claiming that Iran now has 3,000 centrifuges in full operation. South Korea's defense minister says even though North Korea has started to dismantle its nuclear weapons program, the military threat it poses has not diminished. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates made a stop in South Korea as part of his trip, which includes meetings in China and Japan. In southern Finland today, hours after a video predicting school violence was posted on YouTube, an 18-year-old gunman killed 8 people in a high school. The shooter then reportedly shot himself, according to police, and survived, but he is in critical condition. In U.S. election news, the Republican governor of Kansas, Ernie Fletcher, was defeated in his re-election bid by Democratic challenger Steve Beshear. Mississippi's Republican governor, Haley Barbour, won re-election. In other races, the mayors of San Francisco, Houston, and Pittsburgh all re-elected. The founder of the Christian Coalition, televangelist Pat Robertson, endorsed Republican Rudy Giuliani for president today. Although the former New York City mayor supports abortion and gay rights, Robertson urged evangelicals to overlook those differences. However, he did not mention social issues during today's endorsement. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news just ahead.
Behaving in a civil manner is the foundation of a civilized society. The Roman philosopher and emperor Marcus Aurelius said, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. If you think in a civil tone, you will reflect civility to others. When we are civil, we aren't at war. We aren't fighting. When we are civil, there is no crime. When we are civil, we enrich the lives of all the people we meet. When we are civil, we are healthier and happier. The Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. It is our choice to be civil rather than hostile or aloof. Sharing our inherent goodness contributes to the common weal in a way that benefits not only our society, but ourselves, deeply, importantly, and eternally." For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The Space Shuttle Discovery landed safely today at Cape Canaveral, Florida, after more than 2 weeks in space. During the mission, the crew took part in some of the most dangerous repair and construction operations ever conducted on the International Space Station. General Motors announced today that the company lost $39 billion in the third quarter. According to a financial analyst, this was the second worst quarterly net loss ever recorded in U.S. corporate history. Cisco Systems reporting a 37% rise in net profit, boosted by a 17% increase in sales. Toyota reporting its profit jumped 11% in the quarter, setting a company record of about $4 billion for its second quarter. TV and film writers strike now in its third day. Some production has been halted. At least six sitcoms have stopped taping. Others are expected to follow. AAA and the Oil Price Information Service reporting that overnight the national average price for a gallon of unleaded gas went up nearly 2 cents to just over $3.04 a gallon. Light sweet crude oil trading at $96.37 a barrel. Gold at $833.50 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial average down 361 points at 13,300. NASDAQ down 76 points. S&P 500 down 45. More on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
This Wednesday night prayer meeting rolls on. I'm Bob. I can sense that in the audience somewhere there is a person afflicted with the demon of conservatism, and I tell you, the power of truth compels you. The power of truth compels you. Out, out, foul demon of Republicanism. There, we've done our healing. And, you know, in mentioning the lineup that we have going 5 days a week here on the Horn, I was somewhat neglectful, but did not intend to be, because we also have a growing weekend lineup. And that weekend lineup includes Night Sounds with Billy Shears and our own Rick Goodner, Horn psychologist, who brings you Rick's Place every weekend, both of which are, well, just the response to those two shows has been amazing. The presence and the honesty of spirit that Rick brings to his program, and the musicology and the ability to just step back from it all and kick back and listen to some nice tunes with Billy Shears and Night Sounds, it's a very refreshing part of my weekend. It truly is. If you those two begin, Night Sounds rolls the first time 9 p.m. Eastern Saturday evenings on the Horn here, and then goes into rotation with Rick's Place all of the following day. So if you tune in over the weekend, you'll hear them both. And with any luck, let's see, 1, 2, 3. We're talking about three more shows to add to the weekend rotation, and I think that you're going to be very, very pleasantly surprised when those come your way. Let's go back to the phones. I conjured him. Our good friend David calls in from Middle Tennessee, the home of Trinity Broadcasting Network. Hey, David, how are you?
Well, it's both Middle Tennessee and Santa Monica, California. You know, these guys, they need to be on all three coasts, Nashville being the third coast. So they're a bi-coastal outfit.
They're bi?
No. Hold on. You're just being overwhelmed by those thoughts about that low-hanging fruit. I'm just worried that some of it may have a wide stance.
Jesus.
Oh, but, you know, okay. Well, no, where Paul and Jan Crouch are concerned, there are some salacious sexual allegations in his past.
Indeed there are. Oh, indeed there are. And you know what? You got over it as a younger man, but alas, I still do, with the aid of a little liquid relaxation, punch up any of the three Bible Thumper channels I have on my basic $14 a month cable. I got a total of 19 channels. One of them is the city council meeting from Portland, Tennessee. That's a barrel of laughs. and then three of them are Bible Thumpers. And then, you know, then there's two QVC type things. And then the rest of it's programming.
So let's see.
But anyway.
Three Bible Thumpers, a city council, two QVCs. That's six. That leaves you two through. That leaves you the ubiquitous 2 through 13.
You got it. But I don't watch much television. But I am going, with the aid, I'm going to go by the Dollar General, and I'm going to get a very, very cost-effective videotape. Can you still play basic videotape?
Oh, God. I'll figure out a way.
Well, I will send you some Joyce Meyer. She is a piece of work. Now, the woman is on a top 10 list of women that know how to move on a stage and heels, Tina Turner being one without any question. Then there's three spots skipped. Jordan's about number eight. Now, she's right up there with Bernadette Peters for moving really well in three-inch capizios. I'm not kidding you about that, bro. She can walk those boards. But she's a little bit buck-toothed. She's got short, hard hair that would indeed, you know, retail quarters if aimed in her direction. And she gets so snarky so often about women need to shut up about anything that's bothering them and just get on with their life as God wants them to live it.
So she's not out there empowering women or anything that one could consider to be...
She's empowering women to let her own, more, as Archie might say, mob of pilots and some big cars. That's what she's empowering those women to do, is write some serious-ass checks.
Oh, Lord. I guess I'm so removed, David, from the culture that I can't imagine being willing to be hustled by the likes of these people. But after all, every sermon is an explanation of I'm rich because God loves me.
And I can... I can deal you a few crumbs that will be bigger than any pie you can bake. So just plant a seed with me, chump. Brothers and sisters.
Because God loves me. And
I am the doorway. I am the doorway to all this love for you, chump, brother and sister.
You know, you and I have had this conversation in the past, and it's worth bringing up again in this context. The conversation of the three basic rules of civilization as laid out by St. W.C. Fields.
William Charles Duncan Fields?
William Charles Duncan Fields. And those being...
Pennsylvania, the role model of my life. He and Eddie Moscone.
Precisely. And he said, you know, my old grandpappy told me once, right before they swung the trap, son... You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break.
And he's really right.
And don't smarten up a chump.
And he's really right. If you want to cover the three things, that will, if you can just turn your head and do it, you will be wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. And then you can, you know, move beyond those dreams and become even wealthier yet.
And the key to...
I got stuck on you can't cheat an honest man and stuck with the honest man stuff for the most part. Therefore, you know, I'm not a rich guy.
Right. But you can't cheat an honest man. And this goes as much, you know, we talk about what a bunch of frauds and phonies the televangelists themselves are, David. Guess what? So is the audience.
Well, there's a translated desire to accomplish greed and go to heaven at the same time. Because if they join in on the rationale offered them by those six folks that you just mentioned, then they've got the ups on the Jews. They've got the ups on just the churchgoer. They've certainly got the ups on the agnostic and the and you know, these heretics that don't believe in anything except, you know, do a good day today so you can wake up tomorrow without regret. So, in you know, you've got to peel a layer or two, but it's the desire to get over on everybody around them.
Everybody sitting in those audiences, David, is convinced that they can get something they don't deserve to have. If they only sort of play a little bit of mental hoodoo with themselves and talk themselves into believing that they're so good and so righteous and so upright, so holy, so pious, that Jesus just has to shower them with money. And therefore they, in turn, write their checks to that woman who moves so well in heels across those boards, and boom, instant $30,000 conference table.
Exactly. And this leads me to another question, and I've almost asked this of you a time or two before. And there is such a different thing out there in the world of churchgoers that I never heard for the first 30 years that I was alive. I always thought that Judgment Day meant something. I always thought that you could be doing whatever you thought was the thing to do, but you had to keep in mind that you could be before the grand guy, the guy with the longest beard, the guy with the longest trumpet, whatever, and he could be looking through the book, taking advice from some woman on his right hand, and say, look, you know what? When instruction 6 in the owner's manual said, do this, you didn't do that. So everything you did after the age of 23 has really condemned you to hell. Goodbye now. Poof. And they go away. But now then, I had this long conversation with a born again. I worked for the guys. We got to know each other. I said, look, tell me about this. I'm forgiven. I'm going to hell. I'm going to heaven, and that's just the way it is. I'm saved, quote unquote. And he goes, oh yeah. I said, well, Frank, let me like work the edges of this a little bit here, bro. You have a really bad couple of weeks, and you take an axe to somebody, and you finish him off. You kill him, and you go, oops, shouldn't have done that. You're still going to heaven. Oh, yeah. Because I could ask for forgiveness, and that would be that. And I'm just thinking, wait a second here. There's a whole bunch of people that are in a religious spot. I don't understand. So you can go to some church, and you can say the right things, do the right things, and apparently fool everybody and go to church 8 times a week and suddenly do a little dance, you know, make a little feint, and you're forgiven forever. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. That's where it goes. I'm just going, well.
Nice work if you can get it.
I'm sorry. I still kind of believe that should there really be a great spirit that deals in heaven and hell? You've got to wait a second. You've got a sweaty moment coming when you get a thumbs up, thumbs down. You know, does the trap door open or not? That's just.
Right before they swung the trap. William Charles Duncan Fields will be standing at the pearly gates saying, listen, there were 3 rules. There were 3 rules. You can't cheat an honest man, never give a sucker an even break, and don't smarten up a chump. You broke all 3 repeatedly. We're going to swing the trap. Oh, no, but you... Yeah, sorry.
Godfrey, Daniel, don't let the posy fool you.
Yeah, and I know you were looking for a loophole. You didn't find it. But
well, speaking of loophole, and I sense in your voice when you spoke of Mr. Grassley, and he is a rodent. There's no question about that.
He is.
I have no honest, deep-seated feeling that he's really going to make a priority out of this. I think this is just a little something to, like, atone for something that he's done that's going to come out soon. You know, with the center and the left of the nation breathing down his neck, he's going to be able to say, but look, I took a shot at those guys, you know. Either that, or he's going to dig into it for 6 or 8 weeks, hold a couple of hearings that very few people will pay much attention to, and then brand them all pure as the driven snow, and therefore ingratiate himself to the religious nut job.
Well, you know, you're pointing at something, and I think we're on our way to it, David. Could it be that this is a little shakedown from the Republican Republican protection racket of the religious right? Could this be a little reminder, you know, when the thugs drive past your bakery window and put the brick through, and the next morning, oh, you know, I forgot to make my payment. Could this be a little reminder that there will be, I don't care who it is. You know, this is, on the same day that this breaks, we see the story of Pat Robertson and Rudy Giuliani. Now, maybe I'm just hopelessly paranoid and desperately in need of medication. But there's a chain between these two. There's a link. And it's a reminder that I don't care what you think about whoever is the nominee, you will, by God, get in the pulpit. And you will remind them that Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, Congressman Kucinich, Senator Dodd, Senator Biden, or Governor Richardson are godless, heathenist communists, and that the only salvation of this nation will be to elect whomever is nominated. Is that outside the realm of credibility? Is that just nuts?
If that could be the plan, but as much as I don't want to say it, you know, aside from Dennis Kucinich, and aside from Wellstone, God rest his soul, once you're, I've forgotten, is Grassley a representative or a senator?
Oh, he's a senator from Iowa.
Well, he's a senator of long standing. That makes him one of the, without a doubt, what, no less than a group of 40 for powerful politician in the United States, elected official. He couldn't be lower than 40, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Maybe in the top 25.
He's the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, David.
Oh, Lord. Well, top 15. There is no way at that level that he does anything that is not politically driven and driven toward his benefit. Now, there may be, you know, it may be it has to go through one step. He's going to benefit the Republican Party so that he'll reap an even greater benefit later, or it could be direct.
Well, we can ask the always important question, David, is he up for re-election in 08? Does he need to put a little bit of psychic space between between his Republican base in Iowa and these the knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, strychnine-drinking, serpent-handling televangelist hucksters?
Well, there are some sweaty bodies in the Republican Party as of about 11 o'clock Eastern time last night, when that smarmy little ferret, Ernie Fletcher, was voted out of office after turning every screw, pulling every trick that he could, and he was just stalled. This is like a 60-40 in a basically, I hate to admit it, red state. A Democrat, a pretty good Democratic Party credentials, killed him. He could not live down that he threw people out of jobs all over the Kentucky state government, put in political appointees, and then did a three-step backdoor pardon for himself and stopped an investigation. And it goes on from there. The guy has done everything wrong you could do, and lo and behold, when he played the gay card, when he had Pat Boone doing robot calling all over the state of Kentucky, reminding everybody.
Ah, this Pat Boone. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm a real Kentuckian. That's where, you know, Boone comes from, my great-granddaddy Daniel. And, well, Bernie's a regular guy, just like us. He lies and cheats. No, never mind that part.
Drinks liquor straight from the jug.
Oh, I don't think that was part of it either, although he may. But anyway, and I looked this up under two sources because I couldn't believe it happened. You know, because by birth, I'm half Kentucky, my mother being from Louisville. Anyway, he had, for the last 4 days before the election, a very expensive light projection done on the Kentucky Capitol building of the Ten Commandments.
No.
The rally, I swear to you.
That's like the bat signal shining off the clouds?
You win another toaster, Bob. Cha-ching, we have a winner. I'm not making this stuff up.
Oh, God.
I'm not making this stuff up. So the important point for all the Republicans out there, everything that Ernie did in the last 2 weeks of that campaign, scream about abortion and scream about gays, and scream about Ten Commandments.
Well, didn't Pat Boone say that the Brashear would turn Kentucky into another San Francisco?
Those were his exact words. We've got to stop this. They're going to take over. He didn't mention anything about guns and taking away the Bible, but he was right. He was very, very close to it. And then the other thing that has Kentucky very, very interested, they're in one of those deficit crunches. Part of the reason they're in a deficit crunch in a very small way is that in the past several years, about 3 years ago, the state of Tennessee put in a lottery. Well, Kentucky had a lottery long before Tennessee did. So there were a string of convenience stores on the state line between Kentucky and Tennessee. There's a long state line, Bob.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry?
Yes, it is.
They became bazillionaires by selling lottery tickets to toothless Tennessee. Well, now Tennessee is selling those same folks our lottery tickets. Anyway, there's deficits cropping up all over the place because of mismanagement and horrible stuff. And there's a groundswell of activity. Look, we've got riverboats in the Ohio that you can go to for nothing that are sponsored by Ohio and Indiana. We've got Tennessee now selling lottery tickets to the south of us. We've got to do something. So Kentucky wanted to make legal, in addition to pari-mutuel horse race betting, they wanted to have river casino. And, of course, Fletcher, to lay down on the fundies, oh, no, can't do that. And the other guy came out emphatically, look, this is going on, Kentucky. We need to be practical about this. We need money for our school. And that guy was elected. So, in my little way of evaluating things, I'm believing the right is getting a little bit nervous because they lost some ground in the Virginia House and Virginia Senate. That's very interesting. At that level, Democrats made a gain. So hello, Mark Warner, please, for a senator. And before they're prosecuted, we've got Republicans resigning all over the place.
Oh, it's getting very interesting. And it would be fun to watch him collapse. I'm still waiting for him to catch Dr. Dobson with either a dead girl or a live boy, as the saying goes. I'm betting on the live boy.
Well, the more I see of him, and you know, you've said it, I've said it, and we've said it to each other off air. Whatever works for you and a consenting adult, enjoy, be safe, enjoy. But when you're hypocritical about it, when you Larry Craig it, what's the minister that was snorting crank? And
oh, the Crystal Methodist, Ted Haggard?
Yeah, that's the film. Oh, and by the way, just a very random thought. I really think that, have you noticed how much Musharraf of Pakistan is so much in the news these days? You know, there's a real important point behind that. Fredo Gonzalez resigned about the time Musharraf started showing up in the news pictures so frequently. Have you ever seen Musharraf and Gonzalez in the same room at the same time?
No, and you could overlay the photograph.
I think not. I think we should look into that, Bob.
We should. Before he has to sneak off in a burqa and heels like the radical Muslim cleric had to at that red mosque there.
Yeah, before his head's in a jug with honey and vinegar and several very important spices for display later.
Ooh. David, thanks a million.
Well, I'm glad I made it through. I'm playing with a new phone tonight, so I'm glad that I didn't accidentally either.
You have better sound quality tonight than you have probably ever.
Well, good. Getting in bed with Verizon again should come with something. Certainly glad I didn't hit the wrong button and either call the cops or, you know, order an Alfredo barbecue pizza. So, I'll be going now, Bob.
Bye now, David.
See ya.
See ya. and onward. Hey, who have I got?
Robert.
Hey, Robert, how are you in Japan? How's that? Good morning.
Good morning.
Or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Still morning here.
Okay, great. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you doing okay?
Pretty much. We've had some technical hang-ups and a couple of computers fry and, you know, the things that make my life interesting. But we'll get through.
David was talking about the water situation. That it was kind of interesting because I've been reading a couple articles on the New York Times about it, and one was about in Tennessee. There was like I think one city that actually had no water, and they were dealing with that social crisis at the time.
I know there's big problems in Georgia, and in fact, I have heard a complaint from Georgia right-wing Governor Sonny Perdue that just sort of made my eyes roll. Excedrin headache number 952. Right. Sonny Perdue is now complaining that at the time of, and you know, you've spent your time in the southeastern United States, Robert.
Yeah.
He is complaining that at the time of the creation of the state of Georgia and the drawing of the boundaries, that there was an error made in the survey and the shooting of the boundary line, and that the Tennessee River ought to belong to Georgia.
Well, okay, I'm a liberal. I'm open-minded. Let's go with it.
Well, he's saying this because he wants all that water. He wants to pump the Tennessee River dry.
Sure. It amazes me because when I came to Japan 14 years ago, we had a really severe water crisis. I mean, there was no rain for months and months and months, and they actually turned off the water for different apartment buildings for 4 or 5 hours a day. And it's quite interesting to see how a society changes when you turn off the water for that long of a time. And
People get a little cranky, don't they?
Oh yeah. Imagine trying to go. I mean, and if it, in like situation Tennessee and Atlanta, which might get even worse. Imagine going without a shower for a whole week.
Whole country gets a little ripe.
Yeah. And then you have to ask your question, how much money is your house worth if there's no water in the tap? So, and what do you do with a city that has no water? I mean, you evacuate it. I mean, what do you do? So,
it's a heck of a question. What do you do?
Right. We had a similar situation this year. I mean, with Yokohashi, a city south of my city, a little bit ahead, was running really close to having no water, and it gets real interesting. But my attitude with the people in the United States is, well, it's God's wrath. They don't like to hear that, though.
No, because God loves us and wants us all to be rich.
Right. There's no God's wrath on America. God's wrath is on other countries, but never on America. So it's real strange. But I wanted to catch up on some old business with you.
Okay.
Last month, Joe Vecchio, I sort of turned into a podcast real late, mentioned that he was wanting to come to Japan for some reason.
Well, he was in Japan for a while when he was in the military, Robert.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks he would like to go and teach English or something.
Oh. Well, you could always work for my wife's company if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, what do they do?
They work as assistant language teachers, so they teach English in the elementary school. So that's where she's right now.
Oh wow.
So if he likes to teach elementary school teachers, and he could do that. The company is run, however, by an evil demon from Texas, who married a Japanese woman who's also an evil demon. The teachers don't get paid, and they don't teach. So like in August, there's no salary. So how these people get by on survival wages as it is, I don't know. But, that's always an option. But what? He could do that. He could jump into that job and look for a better job, I suppose.
Wow. Well, I will certainly mention that to him.
Okay. Yeah, the company's called OWLS. and has, you know, the owls, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then Kitakyushu, my city, of course. So, in fact, yeah, it's, I mean, they're always looking for teachers because the teachers, you know, they don't get paid in, what is it, August, and so they usually leave or something, but, it's always nice. One of the,
Well, if you will send, if you'll shoot me a little email, Robert, I'll okay. forward it on to Joe.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think his situation is going to be similar to other people. I mean, there's going to be a big business of outsourcing Americans because there's just no more jobs there, and so, they're going to be leaving left, right, and center. I got a Baha'i friend of mine who said that one of his, the prophet's, prophecies said that in the future, there'll be lots of Americans in China and lots in Africa due to some kind of crisis. So, how much stake you put into that, I don't know, but, either way, there's a big crisis. I mean, if you look at the subprime mortgage problems and Citibank's losing billions of dollars, and then I went to Crooks and Liars the other day, and they said in the McLaughlin Group, one of the business groups, you know, is it time to jump yet? It's a real serious problem, I think. I think they're just not letting it be known as a serious problem.
Well, that's there's all we talk about so much. We saw there some professional talker I am. We talk so much about what's going to happen to the world when the oil runs out.
Right.
Frankly, I'm beginning, based on just what I'm observing from weather patterns and from population pressure, we have an equal worry about what happens when the water runs out, and that's probably going to happen before the oil goes.
Oh, sure. Sure.
I just got informed by someone in the chat room that what you're talking about that you knew about that I didn't is Orm, Tennessee, population 145.
Okay, right.
The mayor opens the tank in the evening for 4 hours of water, and then a fire truck hauls from neighboring towns to keep the city tank full.
Yeah. Very interesting article. I mean, and it really opens up doors, and because, you know, people start leaving the city. You know, I'm heading out. I've got to find water. And there was another article in the New York Times that was about 10 pages long about too parched to dry, or I can't remember the title, but it talked about the water situation in the West and how really serious and dire it is. And I keep thinking, well, what's going to happen to property values? What's going to happen to cities when there's just no more damn water? And having been through that 14 years ago, having seen it, it's something you really have to think about because, you know, Americans are wasting money on wars. They're wasting money on all this other crap. When they should be putting into water infrastructure and water conservation and, you know, water distillation for plants. I mean, you name it.
You remind me of something, Robert, because this Saturday we're having something not too far from here called a Blessing of the Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting, I would imagine, probably within a year as this takes place and begin and grows, I will be able to take a microphone and set it outside the door of the studio and periodically just record the sounds of the mountains around me being blown to smithereens. Because
okay.
They're
put that on YouTube and, you know, share the music. Really.
And the reason I mention that is every water well in this vicinity will either go dry or become poisoned. And here we are, one of the most well-watered states in the Union, period, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to, and we are actively destroying that resource because we have people in our state government here who say, coal is West Virginia's future. No, water is West Virginia's future, and we're destroying our future worshiping coal.
No water, no economy, no society. I mean, it's that simple.
I think about the ancient Romans because I'm an ancient history geek, Robert. You know, they managed to build aqueducts that supplied cities for thousands of years. I think there are still a couple of aqueducts in Europe where water still runs through them.
Right.
And yet we have built this humongous infrastructure that can be crippled by a summer's drought.
Well, I read that some of the, a lot of the water infrastructure is like still from the 19th World War I, and it's only been patched and, you know, tinkered with.
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you spend, if you're spending money on that, you can't give tax cuts to the people who eat caviar for breakfast on their cornflakes.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, the Japanese don't fool around with their infrastructure, I have to admit that. I mean, they're very serious about it, so I have to give them that. At least some people get it right. So, well, let me go, but I just wanted to close. I went on a little 20-kilometer hike Saturday with some of my friends in my weekend house up in the mountain. The couple is 70 years old, and it was following the hike from Mount Sarakura down to Shakudaki. And it was a very interesting, beautiful day of the hike. About 60, 70 people were there, but most of them were in their 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s. I was the only one in their 40s. There were no 30-year-olds, no 20-year-olds, no teenagers. It's kind of an, it kind of gave me a glimpse of, Japanese society. Where the young people are either too lazy or too busy to go hiking and enjoying, you know.
And so much of the perspective of the Japanese, mindset has to do, with so much the natural world and the manipulation of the natural world, whether it's, Zen gardens or, lotus ponds or the bamboo groves, whatever, you know, the way it exists in nature and seeing it and appreciating it. And you've got a generation, well, I don't know, I guess the only hope is that when they get to be 70, they'll finally have a chance to take that walk.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the big problems. I think on the following Sunday, I watched on Japanese TV a competition where they had either 2-meter by 1-meter plot, and the two teams had to compete to create the best, most beautiful garden, Japanese garden style garden, in about 30 minutes or so. And it was really wonderful to watch, because they can really do a fantastic job. And the thing here is that all the mountains here and are all covered with trees. You don't see them, any of them clear-cutted at all. They don't go around blowing up mountains. Part of it's Shintoism, part of it is just, you know, common sense. But it's a nice place to live. I mean, contrary to the opinion that, you know, it's all one big concrete jungle, it's one big city. Yeah, you know, most of Japan is just mountains and rural life and rice paddies, and so.
God, I'd love to see it, Robert. And by the way, I'm being told in the chat room to ask you if you feel conjured because they've been talking about you there.
Oh, well, I would have called up sooner, but my Macintosh sort of died on me, so it's kind of hard to give, you know, to Skype you. So I'm using the real phone right now.
Oh, wow.
But the phone service from here to Japan is, I mean, from here to America is real cheap, but when my buddies call me, they complain about, you know, a 30-second phone call being $4. So it keeps me in mind that y'all are getting ripped off on phone service.
Oh, yeah, it's all a con. It's a fraud.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and amongst everything else, so. But anyway, just wanted to talk to you one more time.
Well, it's always good to hear from you, Robert. I hope you won't be such a stranger, okay?
Oh, of course not. And do try that Rammstein video. I mean, it's a real hoot. I mean, it's go to YouTube, type in Rammstein, Rammstein, and then play America. It's a real parody of globalization. So it's quite interesting, along with Kein Lust.
I absolutely will.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Take care, Robert.
See you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Calling from Japan, and sounds like he's next door. That's just so cool. Let's see who we've got here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, now, you said a minute ago that you were healing people over the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have on the Ernest Ainsley Roadkill toupee?
Yes, I do. You'd be surprised. It lays up on top of my little bald spot just like a possum.
I always enjoyed the Robin Williams bit where he used to say, if Ernest Ainsley knows God so well, why can't he get him to grow hair on his head?
Well, or to fix that speech impediment.
Oh, boy, I tell you what. The thing that got to me
was today, and I saw this on a couple of things where everybody was saying, "What an amazing that they have Pat Robertson out there endorsing Rudy Giuliani, but nobody's reminding anybody of all the nice crazy things that Pat Robertson said over the last couple of years."
You know, that's what I'm wondering about Giuliani. He'll get in bed with anybody if he thinks there's a little bit in it for him. To be sitting there glad to have the endorsement of a guy who blamed 9/11 on gay people.
Well, you know,
wow, that's
so I say I've got to call our right winger, our local right winger, tomorrow morning before I go to work, and I'm going to ask him. I said, doesn't this absolutely prove that Christianity isn't much more than a cult when you've got people who are sitting here going, let's see, we're going to vote for a pro-choice, pro-gun control, pro-gay rights.
Cross-dresser.
Cross-dresser. And we're sitting here going, but of course, we're holier than everybody else because, of course, we have values.
Yeah,
but
we...
you take your values, you kick them.
But, you know, this knife cuts both ways because I think it was Will Bunch over at Attitude, Luke, great little blog out of Philly, who pointed out that this is, I mean, politics makes strange bedfellows, sure, but I mean, this is positively, I mean, this is, you know, bedfellows.
This is a Marx Brothers routine.
It sure is. How much do you get if you don't rehearse? Oh, you can't afford that. This, you remember, of course, when Pat Robertson called for the assassination of Hugo Chavez.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, Will Bunch pointed out that Rudy Giuliani and his law firm cleared some several hundred thousands of dollars when they were hired by Chavez to lobby in Texas on behalf of CITGO.
Well, I got the local right winger here the other day. They got on the Fred Thompson thing, you know, about is this Fred's time? Now, is this the same Fred Thompson who one of his clients was some fellow named Muammar Gaddafi?
Yeah, but we can't talk about that any more than we can talk about Ronald Reagan having seen UFOs and being married to a woman who believed in astrology.
I know. It's one of those things. What did you see? I sent you the thing. I like that article out of Media Matters this week, the thing by Eric Boehrick, the thing where he's talking about Hillary, the debates, and the media.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about, so this is the exact same thing that happened in 2000, where this week, you know, this past couple of weeks, you know, Russert and Matthews were all on screen. It was a horrible thing, you know, all this stuff. And they're sitting there going, and they were talking about that. If you listen to everybody that the night of the debate, everybody said she stumbled a little, but said on the whole she actually won because she had to answer a whole lot more questions on a whole lot more subjects. And he said, you know, isn't this the exact same thing that happened in 2000 when at the debate, the night of the debate, everybody said Gore had won. But the next 2 days, the RNC spin machine and the press decided, no, he didn't.
Yeah, it's a fraud. I start off talking about this stuff, you know, as being a con, the conversation with David pointing out that the con is going on not just from the pulpit, but from the audience back as well. It's a great big circle of fraud, and it extends outward. All this so-called mainstream media, electronic religion, it is all predicated on people's willingness to be defrauded.
Oh yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Every once in a while, I see a commercial on one of the channels, and I don't know which one it's on. And every once in a while, they show it, and guess who the person is on there? And they're talking about you know, needing to write him and all this stuff, or get in touch with him. Reverend Ike.
Oh Lordy. Well, I guess he's the spiritual godfather of Creflo Dollar, isn't he?
Oh God! Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. You just sit there, and I saw his face, and I said, you know, he's about 30 years old the last time I've ever seen him, but that's him. Oh yeah, you know. But it's just one of these things. If you turn on, like David was saying, you know, there's God. I hate to think how many channels there are here where we've got ours. There's probably about half a dozen channels at least between Trinity and all the other, you know. There's a couple local knockoffs, and you know, three or four of the big ones, the national ones. It's like I say, we always have to remember that about 30 miles from here at one time, we had Jim and Tammy Faye used to live around here. You know, that's near the third ring, living up in Gatlinburg.
That's true. So, that's very true.
So you know what I mean? So it's like say it's one of these things. You know, it's just amazing to see how far the religious right is selling out. You know, it's one of those things. It's like say, I think that's one thing we ought to do for the next couple of weeks. Is anytime you can challenge anybody, you know, just say, you know, just bring up that fact that, you know, here you are saying that you will support a pro-choice, pro-gay rights, pro-gun control cross-dresser because you want to win.
Yeah, who was best buddies with a guy who was all mobbed up.
Oh, that's the other. Oh, wait,
yet,
wait till this.
That's coming. The indictment is on the way of Bernard Carrick.
Well, my question is now, once the indictment is announced, is the media going to drop on Giuliani, or of course are they going to protect Rudy? Well, Rudy's already been out there talking about it. He doesn't have to talk about it anymore.
Oh, they're going to protect him, Luke, because if they didn't, and this seems to be a recurring theme, they would actually have to do journalism, which is hard work.
You know, like I say, it's going to be interesting. I still say that next year it's going to be interesting if a prosecutor, if it gets that by that time, bothers to call Rudy, because like I say, a whole bunch of this stuff they're going to name Carrick under is going to have to be some of the stuff when he was working with Rudy.
Well, and not just the prosecutor. There's every chance in the world that the defense might call him.
Oh yeah. Like I say, I still wonder if it gets really bad enough. Is Rudy worried about Bernie rolling over on him?
There's a real chance of Rudy turning turtle, Bernie turning. But the thing is, the question is whether or not Bernard Carrick will observe Omerta.
I know.
You know, you take your licks, you go and do your time, and you get to live once you're out of prison, and you don't get the shiv while you're in it.
It's one of those things. It's like saying, because like I say, they were talking the other day about one of the fellows was talking about, you know, where Rudy's claiming all this stuff about being the success, and one or two of them were saying, you know, said, wait a minute, is the guy who's actually the police commissioner, not Carrick, but there's another one, I can't think of his name right now, but they said he was the one who really did a whole bunch of the grunt work that Rudy was just standing there, you know, to get his picture took. You know, it's like I say, that's going to be the thing for the next couple of weeks, is like I say, when some of these questions come up, you know, they've got to start hammering him. You know what I mean? Can't give him the free ride or anything. You know, say, whenever anything comes out about Bernie, we got to ask him, why aren't you asking questions to Bernie? You know, why isn't Tim Russert grilling him at the next debate? You know, it's like I say, we saw him, you know, him and Matthews went after Hillary, you know, threw every question they could at her, directed mostly at her. Let's see at the next Republican debate. Let's see if they do the same thing to Rudy. Let's see if Rudy is target number one.
Don't think so, because then that would defeat the current horse race mentality, both in the Republican primary field and in the perceived Rudy versus Hillary general election.
Well, if you notice one thing, when all you know for a while there for this last couple of weeks, everybody's been in love with Mr. Huckabee. I'm still wondering why we don't have anybody every time they talk about it. It's like, well, now, is this the same Mr. Huckabee who still says he doesn't believe in evolution?
Is this
the same Mr. Huckabee that said that, what was it, half the signers of the Declaration were religious when it turns out one was?
The same Mr. Huckabee says, where science and religion conflict, I will stand with God. Yeah. The Bible says the earth revolves around the earth. Science and common sense says the earth revolves around the sun. Mike Huckabee sides with God, and the sun revolves around the earth. Sometimes it stands still in the sky. Just read the Old Testament. It says right there.
Well, if I say, I still think the best one still had to be the one about evolution. It's like, oh, God, you know, you just want to have him ask, is the earth flat? Come on, I want to know. Which do you think?
I know. Well, maybe some of this will show up in the Republican YouTube debate. That should be fun.
Oh, well.
Sponsored by CNN.
You know that, though. That's going to be so cold. Dear Lord, I'm afraid it'll be.
Yeah, they won't ask any of the fun questions. Hey, Luke, I got a bunch of lights blinking. Okay. We'll run along, but good to hear from you, my friend.
Bye, bud.
Take care. Bye now. And let's see. Let's find out which lights are real and which lights are not. Okay, you're a busy signal. How's about... Yeah, you're somebody.
Yes.
Hey, David, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I just wanted to say something to what Robert was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I know a way to get kids interested in nature. First of all, you need day glow squirrels, then you need a DJ, and designer wear and spiky hair and gargoyle shades, and just create it like a rave scene. Then the kids will come out, and the squirrels, they'll hear the bump of music, and everyone, they'll be in one with the rhythm. And when you're in a nature hike, all of that combined, it's an atmosphere. Plus, you can sell drinks, too.
and we can work the Grateful Dead angle and little cheese sandwiches and meat on a stick.
That's right. You just gotta up it. I have to Japaneseize it. Yes, I made up my own word. You can take the chopsticks and you can put a PS3 Sony PS3 on them. Well, you know, I wanted to say something religious
broadcasters,
craziness, and
yeah, I got the crazy preacher from you, but I can't download it while I've got calls on.
Wait till you see that. You know, there's something about seeing a preacher who has his head shaved with kind of like a Hare Krishna on the back of him, and he's playing One Nation Under a Groove over the loudspeakers and they're doing special camera effects, and then he just starts swearing to his audience.
Good thing I didn't play that without previewing it.
That wouldn't be the good one to do. But you know, I wanted to say I worship under the Reverend McFarland, and what McFarland did for the Family Guy this week was just brilliant, beyond brilliant, beyond brilliant. He had a special, and in the special, instead of talk about the people who liked Family Guy, he talked to people who in the focus group said they hated it. So he brought them in the room. These are real people. He brought them in the room and says, "So you don't like Family Guy?" He goes, "So you wouldn't recommend Family Guy?" Because that's the way he sounds too, like Brian from Brian the dog, basically.
Yeah.
"But you wouldn't recommend Family Guy to your family?" He goes, "Oh, absolutely not. What don't you find funny about Family Guy?" Well, and then they would go, "It's just not funny. I don't think it's funny." He goes, "What do you find funny?" And then they would say something like, "Two guys in a pizza" or something. And they would name a different show that they like. He goes, "Well, I like The Simpsons." Like, "So what do you like about The Simpsons?" And he goes, "Well, you know," he goes, "I think Homer's funny." And I mean, he just kept going on and on with them. One of the funniest things he said, going back on the religious angle, was, "So I take it you're a religious man." And the guy was like, "Yeah." He goes, "You think if Jesus came back, would he cancel Family Guy?" The guy goes, "Absolutely." only Seth MacFarlane would do that. And that, to me, is something where I think the moral to this is you really need to confront the hypocrisy and the people, the shadows, basically. And what he did was the focus group. He just basically said to himself, "Hey, this focus group, who doesn't like this show? Who the hell are they?" So he brought them in the room.
Well, yeah, that's kind of some of the stuff that we live with on a daily basis here, David. That, you know, that 20% that if they saw George Bush drowning babies in front of the White House would swear it was a baptism. That, but who are they? Where do you have to go to find them? And when you do find them, do you just is it catching? Is it contagious? Can you get back home and get a shower and be cleansed of it? Who are these people?
I think the big thing with the reason why megachurches have spread so widely and violently is because a lot of people don't think about this, but the old lights and the switches don't work anymore. And they need more lights and switches. And the more lights and switches you have, the problem is it's like, you know what it's like? It's like being in Poison. Poison or Motley Crue. Hey, guys, we need another drum. We need another bass drum here. And then the roadie would be like, "Hey, we need some more rockets here. Hey, you need to put some more inches to your hairspray with some of that out."
Yeah, and all these televangelists are constantly at pains to make it more of a spectacle.
I wouldn't be surprised if all of them studied the rise of the whole, I don't care what anyone says, the WWF, WWE Empire, genius beyond genius.
Absolutely.
How many people How many people who were the president of a network would actually, I mentioned this before, would actually go into the ring and become part of this script and just basically doing a con upon a con? And bring your daughter into it. Actually bring your daughter as the character of the girlfriend to one of the wrestlers. You can't make that stuff up.
No, and that's where, yeah, well, I'm not sure if WWE, WWF, whatever, I'm not sure if they modeled themselves off of the electric religion industry or if it was vice versa. But
I think it's a feedback syndrome if you think about it.
It's a loop.
Yeah. It's
a feedback loop. And it just goes...
Where do you think the mega churches idea came from? They looked at WWF and they said, holy cow, these guys got runways.
Yeah, and it both of them start very humbly and very modestly with basically traveling tent shows.
Basically traveling tent.
You know, and there was Saturday night at the National Guard Armory, Barton, Alabama. It's the Red Menace versus the Blue Menace, or Saturday night in a field outside Barton, Alabama, in a tent. It's Oral Roberts. Same thing.
And also, there was an integrity. Well, I don't know about I don't know about religious events, but there was an integrity to wrestling before. What I mean was, there was more of an intimacy because if you look at the stages of the 60s and the 50s and the 40s, they were a lot closer than they were now. Now it's almost like a metal Roman gladiator effect.
Sure it is.
With all sponsors everywhere and lights and nowhere on the crowd because they really, pretty much everyone hates the crowd. Just give us your money.
Same thing with the rubes in the megachurches, David.
Yeah, the same things with the rubes in the megachurches. And I really... I don't know if I mentioned the Kevin Smith movie, I think.
Yeah.
Last time, Red State.
Mm-hmm.
That is seriously going to probably, when he makes that film, that's going to cause a lot of stir when it comes to...
Oh, and I meant to tell you, the Saul Williams music, I'm not going to mention the title just because it's too... But the Saul Williams album was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, to me, Saul Williams is an American original. He actually went on the crowds with, he's touring with Nine Inch Nails in case anyone doesn't know who Saul Williams is. He's also, he's a poet laureate. He has 4 books out. He also...
And Trent Reznor produced his album, and it's out there for free.
He has an amazing, he has an amazing energy with him where he can go on stage... And no matter what type of crowd it is, he wins them over. He has that type of effect on him, and I think that's one of the reasons why Trent decided to run with him and produce that album.
What is it? SaulWilliams.com? Is that what it is?
SaulWilliams.com. Yeah, you can't say the name, but basically it's a take on the Ziggy Stardust.
It is a parody on Ziggy Stardust, and it is brilliant.
Did you check out the artwork?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they really put a lot into it.
David Bowie would be proud.
Yeah. I think he probably is listening to it. It came out last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they recorded it this year.
You know, I'm grateful to you, David, because I would be a geek sitting around doing nothing but listening to my old first Eagles Greatest Hits and first Elton John's Greatest Hits album if it wasn't for you.
You know, speaking of the Eagles, this is something that nobody's talking about because they're an old band or whatever. But the fact that they knocked Britney and everybody, and they whacked her number one.
Yeah,
it's like 791. Whoever says the music industry is dead, they sold 791,000 copies in 1 week.
And you know, Billy Shears on Night Sounds last week featured it.
Yeah.
And there's some great writing and there's some good tunes on there. I resent things like that. What was it? The snarky Rolling Stone review maybe, where the guy opens up and says, "Well, the good news is there's a new the Eagles are back, and the good news is the Eagles are back, and the bad news is the Eagles are back."
Well, you know,
you're getting paid to write that stuff.
I know. You know,
cool.
It has to do with, I understand why people pick on the Eagles. It's the same reason why people pick on the Bee Gees, because it was the overexposure was so immense. and everyone.
Well, I remember. Yeah, I remember the. I remember the old days of David Letterman, where for like 2 years, every now and then he would just pop up and do that deadpan to the camera and say, "You know what? Every night before I go to sleep, I say, dear God, please let Phil Collins get more airplay."
And I don't know, did you check out any of the movies?
Yeah.
Which one did you check out?
I've had my head inside a computer for about 4 days. I'm not real sharp right now. Hang on. Yeah. Give me a minute. It'll come to me.
American Gangster?
Yeah, American Gangster and King of California.
Oh, King of California. You know, that's a good.
And I'm saving Trekkies for when I get to kick back for a little bit.
Yeah. For those who haven't heard about if you haven't heard about American Gangster, American Gangster is about Frank Lucas, and it's directed by Ridley Scott. And Frank Lucas is famous for cutting out the middleman in the heroin drug trade. He just went right in the middle of Southeast Asia and said, load up! And he decided to put it in the coffins. Now, talk about gangster. That's the epitome of gangster. But for those people who are interested in that, there's an interesting thing on Charlie Rose this week where they had the whole cast. This is one of the reasons I respect Charlie. He had the whole cast. And he didn't just have the whole cast of the movie. He had the people who played in the movie. So you get to hear Frank Lucas tell his story, too.
Oh, wow.
If you go to videogoogle.com, type Charlie Rose, American Gangster, or maybe Charlie Rose, Frank Lucas, around those names, something will come up on it, and you can watch the hour segment that they did with Ridley, Russell, Denzel, Frank Lucas. And
no, Ridley Scott doesn't do bad work. I mean, he just doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't do bad work. But the other movie, to me, King of California, that was like, you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of kind of like a Don Quixote meets a Coen Brothers film. Even the soundtrack reminded me kind of like Raising Arizona.
Yeah, there's a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and
Speaking of which, I noticed I was rewatching Raising Arizona not too long back, David. And you know what a fan I am of Dr. Strangelove, right?
Yeah.
I noticed a great little piece of trivia homage in Raising Arizona. The Coen brothers are just geniuses.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right after John Goodman and his cohort bust out of prison, you know, there's that whole filthy coming up out of the sewer birth scene where they're, up out of the mud and they're just covered in, yuck.
Yeah.
They're cleaning up in a bathroom, and another thing, you know, remember the whole subplot in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou about, I'm a Dapper Dan man. I don't want no fop. I use Dapper Dan. With the hair pomade. Well, the hair pomade first shows up in Raising Arizona, and John Goodman's sitting there putting the pomade in his hair and combing his hair out and getting cleaned off, and it's a shot into the mirror so you see what's behind him.
Mm.
And on the bathroom door, in reverse mirror imagery,
yeah,
are the letters O-P-E, or P-O-E-O-P-E, which is, of course, the recall code. Peace on Earth, Purity of Essence, is the recall code for the bombers in Dr. Strangelove.
And I suppose they did that intentionally?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say. Yeah, I love little things like that. For those who don't know about King of California, because we did go on a Coen rant right there. The King of California is a movie with Michael Douglas and Evan Rachel Wood, which surprises me, because when I saw the name Evan, I kept going, where's the guy? And then I figured after a while, oh, the girl's name is Evan. Because I've never, have you heard of any girl named Evan? I haven't.
No.
Exactly.
Some Taylors and some Sydneys and some, you know.
Right. I'm not being sexist. I'm being straight up. I've never, if someone told me and they said, oh, yeah, I know someone, Evan, they're across the way, I'd be like, all right, bring her over. I wouldn't believe them.
Hey, David, it's news time, man. I got to roll.
All right, Bob.
Thanks, man. Bye now.
Yeah, bye.
David in Maine, our pop culture correspondent here on the Horn. It is news time, and per his promise, John Fox has sent along a fun little ditty I'm going to run it for you. It's from The Chaser, that great Australian social commentary, comedy, parody, satire program. These are the guys who snuck into the summit down in Sydney with a, you know, a dummied up car and got within like 30 yards of George Bush's hotel and caused a national incident. Before they did that, they were skewering things like mega churches and dummied up phony religion. This is The Chaser. We'll go to the news. This is The Chaser and Modern Christianity. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
This is the Quality News Network. Stocks plunge with the dollar. The Dow down more than 360 points. We'll have the final numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business segment. On the floor of Congress, French President Nicolas Sarkozy pledged to back the White House stand on Iran and Afghanistan, turning the page on 4 years of Chile-Franco-U.S. relations. Sarkozy then met with President Bush at Mount Vernon, the historic home of President George Washington. Supporters of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto clashed with police in front of Parliament today. 400 were arrested. Bhutto was urging party followers to protest in the streets against martial law. President Bush is telling President General Pervez Musharraf that parliamentary elections must be held in January as Islamic militancy rises in the country. In Tbilisi, Georgia, riot police used tear gas and rubber bullets to break up demonstrations calling for the ouster of the country's president. Mikhail Saakashvili is known as pro-Western leader. He declared a state of emergency and banned all broadcast news except those controlled by the state. Interpol put 5 Iranians and a Lebanese man on its most wanted list today in connection with a 1994 bombing that killed 85 people at a Jewish community center in Argentina, the country's worst terror attack. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country has reached a milestone in its nuclear program. South Korea's defense minister says that even though North Korea has started to dismantle its nuclear weapons program, the military threat it poses has not diminished. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates made a stop in South Korea as part of his trip, which includes meetings in China and Japan. In southern Finland today, hours after a video predicting school violence was posted on YouTube, an 18-year-old gunman killed 8 people in a high school. The shooter then reportedly shot himself, according to police. He survived, but is in critical condition. The founder of the Christian Coalition, televangelist Pat Robertson, endorsing Republican Rudy Giuliani for president today. And conservative Republican Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, he recently dropped out of the 2008 presidential race, endorsing Arizona Republican Senator John McCain for president. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news. That's just ahead. But first, this message.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library. After 15 days in space, the space shuttle Discovery landed safely at Cape Canaveral, Florida at midday. During its mission, Discovery crew took part in some of the most dangerous repair and construction operations ever conducted on the International Space Station. Cisco Systems reporting a 37% rise in net profit, boosted by a 17% increase in sales. Toyota said its profit went up 11% in the quarter, setting a company record of about $4 billion for its second quarter. The Labor Department reports that in the summer, during the July through September quarter, worker productivity went up 4.9%. That is twice the amount of the previous quarter and the biggest surge in worker productivity since 2003. The television and film writers' strike, now in its third day. Some production has been halted. At least six sitcoms have stopped taping. Others are expected to follow. AAA and the Oil Price Information Service reporting that overnight, the national average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline went up nearly 2 cents to just over $3.04 a gallon. Light sweet crude oil trading at $96.37 a barrel, gold at $833.50 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunging 361 points to end at 13,300. NASDAQ down 76 points, S&P 500 down 45. More on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty then. About 16 and a half minutes past the hour. We've got a good 40 minutes worth of conversation left. If you want to chime in, you know how to do that. If you've got one of those unlimited long-distance calling plans, you can save us a nickel by dialing 304-658-5453 or nighttime minutes on your cell phone. Like we said earlier, long distance is such a fraud. But it is a fraud that when we use the toll-free the fraud costs us about a nickel a minute. So, yeah, there you go. So if you want to dial in, if you can use your own time, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. As I mentioned, and I'm going to mention it again, just because I have to. And you know, by God, if people can sell prayer hankies and things like that, I'm not going to get busted up because we're actually doing something here, reminding you how serious it is that if you want the horn to continue, that we continue to meet our monthly goals. We're still in a $1,000 hole from September. We met October, and now we're at work on November. And on top of that, we've got a brand new computer to pay for. Now we're trying to be as economical as we can. Instead of going out and buying one that's got a bunch of stuff in it that we don't want or don't need, we're trying to build a computer that will last us 2, 3, 4 years now. God willing, good parts, good pieces, quality stuff, and the best computer minds that I know guiding me through the process.
We're at about $300. It's seventh day of November. We're a fifth of the way through November, and we're not a fifth of the way through our fundraising, so it is what it is. I mentioned a few minutes ago, and I just tell you this because we are all family, and I would be horrified to know that, and I am horrified to know that this sort of thing goes on around people who live in other areas. Mountaintop removal has brought its evil shadow to my home, and there is a blessing of the mountains scheduled for Saturday morning in Anstead, West Virginia. And I'm going to go, because what it's going to amount to is probably the last time anyone will get to stand in that particular location and look down on the beautiful little area that is the place that I live and see it, and these millions upon millions upon millions of year-old mountains, the mountains that literally reseeded an entire continent after the last glaciation, see them as they exist now, in the form that they have been molded into over the course of those millions of years. The permits have been approved. The plans are in motion. And our mountains are going to be leveled. I wasn't kidding when I said over the course of the coming year or so, I'll probably be able to stand outside with a microphone or take the recorder downtown to Anstead and stand on the sidewalk down there and listen to the sounds of the explosions that will hurl dust and filth into the air, coat my town with coal garbage, coal filth, sicken our children, make breathing more difficult, and coat our homes, cancers will go up around here in fairly short order. Anyone with a water well will soon find that their water is unfit to drink. And all of that because people like Don Blankenship at Massey Energy have not figured out that they don't hook U-Hauls to hearses. I can't tell you how saddened I am. Norwegian Public Television is said to be planning on being at this event so that they can go back and show people in Norway what American companies think of American people. Houses are going to have their foundations broken. Homes that have sat on plots of ground for nearly 100 years will be ruined. And all because coal keeps the lights on. I can't tell you what this does to my spirit. And I feel now, I've had a great deal of empathy with our dear friends in the southern coal fields who have described what it feels like and now it's here with us. And I feel like this is an overt attempt to drive me and mine out of our home and drive us away to ethnically cleanse this area. Do you realize that this mountaintop removal job is going to go on within a mile, 2 miles tops of a national park? Let that settle in. And it's not just in Anstead. It's going to go up, down into eastern Greenbrier County. They're going to mountaintop remove there. They're going to do mountaintop removal in eastern Greenbrier County and western Greenbrier County and eastern Fayette County. And yet there are people in Greenbrier County who actively militate against the building of windmills not too far from the places that they're going to be blowing up mountains on. It boggles the mind. This is nothing short, and I do take it personally, this is nothing short of a direct frontal attack on my family. And if somebody was banging down my door doing the same thing, I could defend my family. But the mechanism that is supposed to be in place to protect my family and other families has been perverted and subverted. Because the coal companies have so much more political clout than a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old or a 13-year-old or a 6-month-old. We don't matter. Now bear in mind, here in a few months we will matter. I'll go to some political appearances and rallies and so forth and shake hands. It'll be, "Well, dang, Bob, glad I can count on your vote." Why couldn't I count on you when I needed you to protect my family values from a rapacious coal company? Why couldn't I count on you when I needed you to protect me and my family in our little vehicle from being run off the road by exhausted, overloaded coal trucks? Why is it you count on me for a vote, but I can't count on you after I cast that vote to stand in the breach for life, for families, for children, for mothers, for infants? The notice I got about the blessing of the mountains said very clearly that the deed is already done and nothing short of a miracle will stop this assault on my family and all the families in this area. My people have been in this county since before it was a county. My people have been in this generalized area for something approaching 300 years. And I think about them. I don't necessarily know that I would have wanted to know them. It was a pretty brutish existence when they first came here. The Kincaids who came here very, very literate and very well educated. In about 2 or 3 generations' time, they were illiterate because all their time was spent on staying alive, and there wasn't time for such niceties as reading. You can go to the Google, look up Alexander Kincaid. He was a great publisher in Edinburgh, Scotland. And he is a direct multi-great-grandfather of mine. His sons had to come here after they backed the wrong horse in the Second Jacobite Rebellion. They were, in a word, illegal immigrants. But they managed to stay alive through Indian Wars, through revolution, through a second war to maintain our independence, through the Mexican War, through the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, the First World War, the Second World War, through plague and famine, natural disaster, economic disaster. They managed to persist and survive, so that here in November of 2007, I participate in a little electronic marvel that takes my voice through a microphone literally around the world. all that they survived. And I have to ask whether we will be able to stay on this ground through another generation, or if we will be forced to flee like some sort of refugees from a mountain range removal operation that will poison our entire region. The governor doesn't care. My members of the House of Delegates don't care. My state senators don't care. My county commissioners don't care. My congressman doesn't care. And neither of my two United States senators care about what is going to happen to families when the mountains start being leveled here in this little corner of Fayette County, West Virginia. They don't care. And that settles into me all the way to the pit of my stomach. And it horrifies me when as many people are going to be negatively impacted by this filthy operation, and people already are impacted all over this state, all over Western Virginia, where boulders fly off of mountaintop removal operations and land squarely on a two-year-old toddler sleeping in his bed and crush him to death. It happens in Western Virginia, it happens in Kentucky, it happens in West Virginia, it happens in Tennessee. And no one cares. Because if we bring up our objections to having to being ethnically cleansed from the area, we get a lecture from someone who isn't even as intelligent as us about economic development and how important coal is to our state. And the fact of the matter is, to my congressmen, to my senators, to my city, my county commissioners, to my members of the House of Delegates, to my state senators, all of these people, coal is more important than my or any of these other families. And if you realize something like that, and you balance it against everything you've been taught about how good and how right the American experiment with representative democracy is, well, what's the word we've been using all night long? Fraud. It's a fraud. It's just a fraud. And I don't have any representation in government. I don't have a delegate. I don't have senators. I don't have a congressman. I do not have United States senators. I don't have county commissioners. The coal companies have all of those. I have nothing. Kind of hard to stomach. Let's go to the phones. Oh, did I hang up on somebody? Call back whoever you were, please. I'm sorry. I think I hit the wrong button. I didn't mean to. That's what happens when it's a one-man operation. Let's try this again. Hi, who have I got?
Nanette.
Hey, Nanette. How are you, dear?
I'm fine, and I'm sitting here telling you that you're going to be strong just like the rest of us. You're hard-headed as the rest of us, and you're going to fight like the rest of us.
Yeah, I am. And I'm going to raise children to fight, too.
Mm-hmm. And you forgot to mention one person that you don't have.
Governor.
Governor Manchin.
Yeah, I don't have a governor either.
No, you don't.
But, you know, he's gonna be reelected, and he's going to tell us again that West Virginia is still open for business.
I know it. But I said, you're sitting there talking about your generations. It's the same thing that I've been saying. Excuse my voice. I'm still getting over this crap I've had. But your story is just like ours. You know, us down in Boone County and on Coal River, we've been going through this. We've been fighting it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you could take your microphone outside and hear, you know, the noise. You can do that here now. So, you know, but stay strong. I'm not leaving my land, and you're a Scot by blood, and you're hard-headed as I am, and you're not leaving either.
No, I'm not. But I got, we, Nanette, somewhere along the way, somehow, some way, we have got to figure out how to fight them where they live. And I'm not talking about getting a gun and going and shooting anybody.
Right.
I'm talking about fighting them where they live. And where they live, Nanette, is in their wallet.
That's exactly right.
Now, we don't have any politicians. We don't have any representation. But you know what? Come primary time, how many people who think like we do are gonna bite the bullet and at least stand for elected office? Now, I'm not carping at you, understand.
Uh-huh.
But if we want representation of the people instead of the coal companies, we've by God got to put them out there for people to choose, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I've been racking my brain. Who? Who do we get?
Well, you know, that's one of the things, and this has been sort of percolating in my brain ever since Robert Kennedy came down there to Rock Creek.
Oh, man, that was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And he was talking about that grassroots movement that they grew up in the Hudson Valley.
Uh-huh.
What do they call it? River keepers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've got the basics of the movements, but what we have not done is we have not actively sought to raise up people, and by raise up, I don't just mean raising children. I mean by uplifting people.
Right.
And holding them in our hearts and our spirits and our energies.
And have them by their back.
And have them by, yeah, darn right.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, if you'll get out there and you'll get in the political process, we're behind you. And if you'll fight, we'll fight twice as hard to make it happen for you.
Yeah.
We'll knock on doors. We'll phone bank. We will go to the bean dinners. We will do everything that is necessary to put people in office.
Heck, I'll cook the beans.
I had a big old pot of Octobers for dinner tonight, as a matter of fact.
I had pintos this evening. Yeah. Oh, dear.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We haven't found those people that we can hold up as our alternative and as suitable representatives of West Virginians. Because I got a feeling that if we brought somebody out of the mountaintop removal opposition and into the political process, I'm guessing that kind of person, knowing who I know and who you know in the movement, those people, I mean, we're not one-trick ponies. We're not like anti-abortion people.
No.
We think about other things, and we actually do think about families, and we think about the quality of a school.
We think about sustainability.
Sustainability and what a community means and what it means for people to be able to be proud of where they live.
Right.
And so I think we've got to find some means of teaching people how to stand for election.
You know, someone on the chat mentioned, you know, why is there not a rebellion or something like that, the way that we've been treated? I think people have been oppressed here for so long that they just get by to get by. And it's so pitiful because they're not fighting for their children's future.
And it's so pitiful because that's not the stock they come from, Nanette.
No, it's not. No, it certainly is not. It's not the stock I come from.
Not by a long shot. And no. But the other thing is also true, Nanette, and that is if you kick a dog long enough, a dog will come to expect to be kicked.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, right, and if a stray walks up to your house, you can tell how that dog's been treated in the past, because if you call it over to you, and it cringes, you know that somebody's been kicking that dog for a while.
That's exactly right. Yep.
And people
here have been kicked and kicked and kicked, and they don't know how to fight back. And we can get out, and we can talk and talk and talk, and the people say, "Oh, they just want to get rid of coal altogether." Yeah, I would like to see it gone altogether eventually. But I know it's not possible now. We have to have a transition period.
Sure.
But by golly, we don't have to tear up God's creation to get it.
And not just that, we have to have a transition period whether we like it or not. And you can't explain that to these coal monkeys. Run out. They're not making any more.
Let me tell you something. They don't want our message out. We're a gradual transition into these different things. We can't just flip the switches off and expect electricity to miraculously come in your house. We have to transition to alternative sources. Well, there's going to be coal mines for years. So it don't have to be mined the way they're doing it.
No, it doesn't.
People want the miners and their families to think they want to stop it all right now. They want to kill the coal industry.
They run ads that say that very thing, Nanette.
I know they do. And it just makes, I don't know whether other people, people in other parts of the country even see these commercials or whether they're local. But I get so sick of Massey and Walker Machinery commercials, I could scream.
I can't even sit down and watch my beloved Mountaineers play football.
I know what you mean. Have you seen the new one with the stupid green bug?
Yeah.
No.
I
thought you could have paid your 80 employees you laid off from all the money you spent making that silly commercial.
Well, that's the truth. But they have to put it out there because it's part of the brainwashing effort, Nanette. Because, did you go? I'm sure you did. You went over and voted in that Charleston Daily Mail poll last week.
Oh, I sure did.
And what were the numbers looking like when you were there? I mean, it was like running
7% was for banning mountaintop removal.
And that's and for folks who live outside West Virginia, that says something that it's on the Daily Mail's website. That's a right wing coal
rag of West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean they never met a coal baron that they didn't want to get in bed with.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it, the irony of the fact that they're going to be doing this down in western Greenbrier County, near to where they wanted to put the dadgum windmills up.
Honey, we went to that meeting.
Oh, I know you did.
We went to that meeting, and I thought there was going to be a fight right there.
Yeah, Wayne was there.
Yeah, but he left before all the trouble started.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bless his heart. I said, you missed it. We were up there, and I don't know how they knew Paul and I were husband and wife. Each person was, given so many minutes to speak. They called me and Paul forward together and gave us just one person's allotment. Well, Paul was talking, and this woman had dogs that said that the windmills would disturb her dogs. And she starts trying to shout Paul down. Paul whirled around and stuck out his finger. He said, I didn't interrupt you, and by God, don't you interrupt me.
Good for him.
He did. But I thought there was going to be a fight before we got out of there. And we told him. I told him, I said, hey, I'll trade you RMTR for your windmill.
Sure.
But now, they're getting in. We said, you put windmills on the mountain, you'll keep your mountain. Well, we tried to tell them it's coming to a neighborhood near you, and they laughed at us. Well, it's there now. We told them.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there are other projects like in western Greenbrier, and I know it sets some people's nerve on edge, but, they got a gob pile down there, and people don't know what a gob pile is.
Oh, boy.
But it's huge. It's one of the biggest in the nation, unless I'm mistaken, and they've got a plan to put a cogeneration plant in down there that will burn that gob. Not talking about new mining, but burn the gob.
You talking about stink?
Oh, I know, but it's state of the art stuff, Nanette.
Oh.
And they've got an entire plan built around it for green energy.
Oh, is that the thing that Wayne was talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
But instead, we're going to destroy the mountains to find coal that, we can make a profit on, because nobody's going to get rich off that gob.
Right. Well, even with the sludge dam, there is a way to do it now. It's called wicking.
Mm-hmm.
They can wick the water off of that, and they can dig that stuff up and burn it.
Yeah, but where's the profit in it?
That's exactly. It's going to cost them some money.
It's labor. It is labor. Among other things, it's labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reason for mountaintop removal. And I don't know if people, and I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, and you live it and you know it, and I know some of it. Mountaintop removal is here not because it's the most efficient means of or the only means of getting at the coal. It's the way of getting the coal by employing the fewest people.
Exactly. But Bob, you know what? There's one piece of equipment on a mountaintop site around here. It takes 80 gallons of diesel an hour to operate that one piece of machinery.
Holy mackerel!
Now you think of the amount of fuel that is.
And that's that on-site high sulfur, god awful stinking diesel too.
It's the off-road diesel, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not refined down to you can run it on the highway. It's highly polluting. But you take 80 gallons per hour, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never shuts down. Now, the price of diesel has gone up to what? And it's going up more.
Yeah.
Then you've got your dozers. You've got your coal and rock trucks. Then you've got your coal trucks that travel the highway. You've got your trains. You've got your tugs. You've got everything, barges. You've got all this that operates on diesel. Now, that price has got to go somewhere, that price increase for that diesel. Where's it going to go? It's going to go on everybody's power bill.
Sure it is. And, you know, I talk about having political representatives. I'd like to have one member of the legislature who would be so kind as to offer a bill compelling the Public Service Commission to command Appalachian Power to at least offer those of us who are willing to pay for it the opportunity to buy green energy.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
You know, we're captives. People don't... I feel a little bit, insufficient to describe what it's like. I mean, I don't want people thinking that West Virginia is some sort of gulag. But my God, I can't. I mean, what happened to where are these Republicans that are all about the free market, Nanette? Why can't I participate in the free market and buy energy that is not coal based?
Because there's at free market does not exist for folks like us. Free market is for corporations.
No, we are what, captive consumers, I suppose.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And I tell you something else. Just like they're wanting to build that big new Massey operations office building over here on Quarter G.
Yeah.
Boone County put in hundreds of thousands of dollars to run a water line. The state put in hundreds of thousands of dollars to put in a water line. We tried for years just to get a water line to the houses on the hill behind where we live. We couldn't get it.
No, heck no.
And I think that instead of the government giving subsidies to all these big energy conglomerates, give a tax break to us common folk that we could do something green. Put some solar panels on the roof or whatever.
Geothermal, sure.
Yeah. I mean, they could turn it around and give it to the people, and we would be so much better off.
And yet, it's so simple to describe it, Nanette. But you would think it was rocket science when it comes to getting, but again, it comes back to
it's
what I was saying.
I don't have it.
You and me, folks like us, we don't have a governor, we don't have any senators, we don't have any congressmen, we don't have anything. We are absolutely, we are a classic example of taxation without representation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they've got that on their license plates in D.C. I'd like maybe one of the things we could do is get taxation without representation vanity plates here in West Virginia, and all us folks who actually give a hoot about what happens 50, 150, and 250 years from now can get one of those, because I am surely not represented in Washington, and I am most assuredly not represented in Charleston, and neither are you.
Well, maybe it's just not even a license plate. A bumper sticker do.
Yeah.
You know, something that's cheap and everybody could afford.
West Virginia, taxation without representation.
Yeah. But I was listening to you, and I was on chat, and I was thought, I've got to call in. Now, this is my testimony, and I got to call in.
we don't hear from you a lot, but I know you're out there, and I'm so glad that you are. And
well, last week I didn't have any voice at all, and I couldn't have talked if I wanted to. So.
Well, I've heard and talked to folks who are going through this stuff, but now it's coming home. Now it really is NIMBY,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it is in my backyard.
Right. And, you know, it just like, you know, it's not put down to anybody until it does hit home. It really makes you want to think, I'm not putting anybody down, but unless it is right in your backyard, you really, really don't understand what's facing you. And
no.
I hope to God that you all don't live in a place where your kids have to go to bed with their clothes on when it rains.
Well, see, that's my next question. How in the world are they getting away with this? What drugged-out junkie issued the permit for this? It's literally, I mean, where this is going in, if you just fly over with Google or whatever, look at the map, this is smack dab in between the Gauley River and the New River National Park.
Yeah. Now, your permit's come out of Oak Hill.
Yeah.
Ours come out of Logan. Okay? You're in a different district.
Right.
But eventually it all has to be vetted through Stephanie Timmermeyer.
Yeah, and Stephanie Timmermeyer never met an industrial polluter that she didn't love.
Well, she's one of the lawyers for DuPont against the poisons that goes into, what is it, Teflon or silver? What's my name? Stuff that they put in the Ohio River.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Poisoned the groundwater up and down the Ohio River, sure.
I mean, all the people along the Ohio River has taken this stuff in. She was fighting for DuPont, defending their pollution. She's the one that's signing off on all this stuff that they're doing to us. She's over our Department of Environmental Protection now.
Just makes you want to run rabbits, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it makes you run rabbit whenever you think you voted for the governor and appointed all these dimbos.
Yeah, I mean, we could have had this with a Republican, for heaven's sakes.
That's what I'm saying, Bob. It don't matter if they're Democrat or Republican in this state. They all are bought and paid for by coal. It doesn't matter what ticket they run on. They're coal people. They might have a different stance on different issues, but when it comes right down to it, when it's coal, coal's king.
Yeah, they're going to vote coal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to put the sludge dam, but it's, you know, it's up a holler there, and I'm sure that, well, I got a pretty good guess. They'll just put it up at the end of the holler and do what they always do.
Which holler would that be?
It's, well, when you get here, there's only one. It heads up. It's up on Fire Tower Mountain, and the holler just runs away from it. And I can see it happening almost without even trying to imagine it.
Are you upstream or downstream from it?
I'm away from it. I'm a couple of ridges over from it.
Up or down is what I'm saying.
Up.
Okay, then you're, yeah. That don't help the people downstream.
No. But this is all a high mountain plateau as it is. That's why it's a little bit strange because, we're almost at the tops of the mountains anyway.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh.
So it's gonna pose a lot of different nightmares. And
we used to travel up that way a lot when my uncle lived at Summersville. But I haven't been up that way for years. So I have to think back of where everything is up there.
Well, it's do you know where Hawk's Nest is?
Oh yeah.
Okay, if you come on east on 60 on Hawk's Nest, you'll come into Anstead, and just as you come into Anstead, you look to your left, and that's the holler.
Oh, okay. I know exactly. Okay.
It's where all the coke ovens were. It'll run. The runoff is actually going to go straight. There's a beautiful trail now that goes down where all the old mines were when they were underground mining in the, you know, up through the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll run straight down Mill Creek into the New River.
Oh man!
Right there where the dam is. There'll be fish kills. Yeah.
Oh.
And while we're at it, they'll also put a nail in the tourism industry's coffin.
Of course.
Because doesn't anybody want to go whitewater rafting in that filth?
I wouldn't. Absolutely, I would.
And the other side of it is the Gauley. It's literally in a triangle of land that's got the Gauley on one side, the New on the other, and the plateau area of Fayette County. It's kind of like it's a triangle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bob, I just hate to hear that. I really do.
And, I mean, you know what's going to happen. You know what? My kids go to school down there. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen to the school. You know what's going to happen to the houses in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to happen to the roads from the coal trucks on it.
Yeah. I know exactly, because Route 3, I can throw a rock from my front porch right out on the road. It's all to pieces.
And, of course, we'll get to pay for it, because the no goods in the coal industry can't be called upon to actually pay for the stuff they destroy.
I know it. And, Bob, I tell you, when all this was going on with the coal trucks, we lived at the Capitol. That whole summer, we lived at the Capitol trying to stop this. And it's just impossible. We had a few legislators on our side, but not very many.
No. No, I can probably name who they were.
Mm-hmm. So,
but not near enough. And the thing is, you know, you never meet these permit people, like, out of the Oak Hill office. You never get a chance to look at them on the street and say, how dare you? How dare you?
I'm going to tell you what. The church that we left, one of them attends that church.
Mercy.
Yep. And I tell you what, he made a comment.
Really?
You ought to take all the environmentalists out and just string them up. That's what he said.
You're kidding.
Oh, sir, I'm not kidding you.
Well, you know, yeah, because we're the danger.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep saying, and that's why it's so important, Annette, we are not going to get help. I mean, there are a lot of committed people inside the movement, whether it's Coal River Mountain Watch or Highlands Conservancy or OVEC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of committed people in those organizations.
Well, did you get the emails on the Rain Action Network, Rainforest Action Network?
Yeah.
Where they dropped that big banner down in Charlotte?
Yeah, I did. And that's the thing. It's people outside, you know, those outside agitators that the coal industry is complaining about all the time.
What? One of the fellows, I wrote him a letter. One of the fellows that was an internet drop did it because one of his best friends was one of the babies that was pulled out of the Buffalo Creek disaster.
Oh, mercy.
And he survived. And he did it for him. Because the only thing that had, they thought it was a doll baby, and they pulled it up and he made a whimper. He lost everybody in his family except his daddy. His daddy was underground working at the time. And when that little fella heard his daddy's voice, he whimpered. And they took him to Charleston, they reattached his leg. That he did it for him. And I wrote him the nicest letter and told him about the flatbed trucks full of coffins going in front of our house after that to bury the dead.
Lord.
People that have not lived here and have not seen this and experienced this have no idea.
Yeah, and that's not a put down. It's just an encouragement to people. Yeah, come see this.
Yeah.
We have listeners to the Horn, friends of the network, who had a little free time, and they came and saw.
Mm-hmm.
And more people need to do that, because then you go home and you call your congressman and you say, you know, I'm writing to you because these people down here, they don't have any political representation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just not a hell of a lot of difference, Nanette, between here and Myanmar.
Right.
Or here and the streets of Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. And see, just like the sludge dam above Marsh Fork Elementary, there's one right down below me. It holds 2 billion gallons. They're everywhere. There's just not one. They're everywhere, Bob.
Yeah.
If that one down below me goes, the whole town of Petona is gone.
It's hard to even wrap your mind around, isn't it?
It is. And, honey, I've kept you long enough, and I know you probably got somebody else probably waiting, and I've just been rambling, but...
Well, unfortunately, I got the show's end right on top of me. But, Nanette, it's always such a joy. Thank you so much, and I'm glad your voice is back.
Well, it's getting there. It's not the best in the world, but it's getting there. And
Well, you tell Paul we said hi, all right?
I sure will, and God will, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
And I don't know if somebody's here, but we'll try to get one last quick call in. Hey, who have I got? Hello?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Mark Mahoney.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Wisconsin here.
Yeah, I've only got about a few seconds left, but good to hear from you. What's up?
Well, I'm thinking about moving to Cincinnati so I can make more money to give to the Horn.
Well, if they're doing that in Cincinnati, by God, we'll all move there.
All right, but what's this about the, you know, the Ohio River runs by there? What's this about West Virginia and Ohio River? You're going to pollute that sucker even more?
Oh, we already have. You can send the thank you note to DuPont.
All right, I'll do that. I'll check into that, and we'll carry the conversation some other night on this subject. But wish me luck. If I can make a few more bucks, I'll send her the Horn.
Bless your heart. If you can, we sure do we sure will appreciate it, Mark.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too. Bye now. And that's it. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Peter. Thanks to John, both of whom are coming up. Joe Vecchio will be a rerun. Just got an email from him saying that he just couldn't do it tonight. So, these things happen sometimes. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. Alone. They threatened the rest of the neighborhood, too. Welcome to
This is the Quality News Network. Stocks plunge with the dollar, the Dow down more than 360 points. We'll have the final numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business segment. On the floor of Congress, French President Nicolas Sarkozy pledging to back the White House stand on Iran and Afghanistan, turning the page on 4 years of chilly Franco-U.S. relations. Sarkozy then met with President Bush at Mount Vernon, the historic home of President George Washington. Supporters of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto clashed with police in front of Parliament today. 400 were arrested. Bhutto is urging party followers to protest in the streets against martial law. President Bush telling President General Pervez Musharraf that parliamentary elections must be held in January as Islamic militancy rises in the country. Interpol put 5 Iranians and a Lebanese man on its most wanted list today in connection with a 1994 bombing that killed 85 people at a Jewish community center in Argentina. That was the country's worst terror attack. In Tbilisi, Georgia, riot police used tear gas and rubber bullets to break up demonstrations, calling the ouster of the country's president, Mikhail Saakashvili, is known as a pro-Western leader. He declared a state of emergency, banning all broadcast news except that controlled by the state. In southern Finland today, hours after a video predicting school violence was posted on YouTube, an 18-year-old gunman killed 8 people in a high school. The shooter then reportedly shot himself, later dying at the hospital. In U.S. election news, the Republican governor of Kansas, Ernie Fletcher, defeated in his reelection bid by Democratic challenger Steve Beshear. Mississippi's Republican